Ladies and gentlemen, this world is in so much crisis. I think sometimes I shouldn't even come in with intro music like it's a show or entertainment, because it's not. Survival of liberty is not a game. Incredible. Obama has come out and said there's little difference between communism and capitalism. And, of course, they're trying to ban just the name Trump on campuses. Here's a John Bound report on it. Dozens of college students in fear, close quote, in Atlanta after Trump 2016 chalked across campus. Not Trump KKK, which the false flaggers do. No. Trump 2016, and they're now having psychologists in meetings and having to cancel part of the school as everyone goes in and says, we're scared. We saw the Trump. It was almost as bad as Yale. And the two professors over that department sent an email saying, listen, costume parties are part of freedom. This is true liberalism. You're allowed to, you know, have different ideas and dress like you want, and just, you know, you have your freedom as well. And so they caught him out in the square and began screaming at him and threatening to hit him and going, oh, help me, I'm scared, oh, God, I'm not safe, oh my gosh, you're hurting me. I mean, I can't even scream as loud and as hysterically and as freaked out as they did. And guess what? Yale fired both of them. Fired the people that dare say there was freedom.
InfoWars journalist Adan Salazar writes, several students at Emory University in Atlanta requested a meeting with the school's president after the words Trump 2016 were scrawled across campus. The college news site The Tab published several photos of the chalking. Jim Wagner, the university president, said Tuesday he had spoken with some 40 to 50 students after they claimed they were triggered by the words Trump 2016 and other pro-Trump messages written in chalk on buildings and sidewalks around campus. The students said they were threatened by the intimidating messages and voiced genuine concern and pain to administrators, reports the Associated Press. The Emory Wheel reports, one student said, I'm supposed to feel comfortable and safe here, but this man is being supported by students on our campus, and our administration shows that they, by their silence, support it as well. And I don't deserve to feel afraid at my school, she added. But individual students soon began to offer more detailed personal reactions to feelings of racial tension that Trump and his ideology bring to the fore. Has this juvenile corrosion of freedom of choice reached other American campuses? The University of Texas, for example? If you saw Trump 2016 written on the ground right here, would that offend you? Would you rally with other students and alert the university president?
It would offend me. I'm not sure I would go get the president of the university, but I'd be happy if someone did.
I'd certainly try to rub it out.
I think it just goes to show a lot about where our political process is at right now. So just be kind of, I think, disappointed is my main reaction.
No.
Why not? Why wouldn't you be offended?
People have a right to put in chalk Trump 2016 if they support him. I may not support him, but that doesn't mean that others aren't supporting him, and they have a right in chalk. If it's not graffiti, you know, I'd be fine if people did that, as long as they don't infringe on the rights of others to write Clinton or Kasich or anyone else in chalk right next to it.
Why would it offend you?
Well, first of all, nobody should be writing their opinions on public streets. It's not the opinion of all the students in the body, and it shouldn't be represented near our university. And because I don't want Trump to win president for 2016. Because I think he's a dangerous man who is dishonest, he lies, and he's using his money to manipulate poor people into voting for him.
You can express political beliefs wherever you want. I think the First Amendment gives you that right, but I would just be disappointed, I think.
I think society is becoming more polarized. People are either right-wing or left-wing, very extreme positions, and the moderates aren't very talkative and seem to be frozen out. So you have to support extreme positions to get elected, and that's no good anymore.
Most of the students I tried to talk to had their heads buried in their phones. The Independent reports the more time young adults spend on social media, the more likely they are to become depressed. Well, they haven't seen anything yet. Wait until Obama's policies come home to roost, as young millennial men and women are drafted and sent to the front lines, fighting the global...
That's right. We're going into a total fascist worldwide tyranny. The full report by John Bound is up on Infowars.com. crybaby college students bludgeoned freedom of speech. This is going to be an over-the-top broadcast. I'm telling you, one for the history books. Get ready.
We've got it. This transmission is coming to you.
Waging war on corruption.
All right, you are in go.
It's Alex Jones, coming to you live from the front lines of the InfoWar.
Just yesterday, I talked about how in Sweden, in Germany, in France, in many other areas of Western Europe, the college campuses and the high schools, and also the elementary schools, part of your credit, you go to a Muslim area or you go to a Muslim ghetto and you apologize to the Muslims for the Crusades. You give them flowers. You make them food. You clean their homes. And the Muslims laugh at you because these are not the cultured Muslims that I grew up knowing, the upper class and from freer countries. When Iraq had been freer, or Egypt had been freer, or Jordan had been freer, really nice, cool, smart people. These are the lower class Sunni invaders of the entire Middle East that are the majority, that are running around attacking everybody and then bullying their own people to be as hardcore and as extreme as possible. And I was thinking about all these articles I've seen the last year where the liberal feminist groups in Germany came out and said, it is German blonde-haired, blue-eyed men raping women in Cologne. It was on video that it was the Wahhabist invaders who had invaded Syria, and then they would blame Syria on the news when they, quote, told the truth and said, no, actually, it's all Syrian or North African refugees. Even that was a lie, too. It was almost exclusively just North Africans or Sunni groups out of Saudi Arabia and other areas that had invaded. So it's lie within lie within lie. And you can pull those articles up. But I was thinking about it when I was on air yesterday, how that just doesn't even sound true when I was saying it. It doesn't sound true that the national feminist groups and the national liberal groups, the Green Party and others, in official newspapers with straight faces, came out and said, German men did this, and it's going to be good when there's no more original Germans. That was all over the news. TV, Der Spiegel, you name it. And you say, that flies in the face of logic. That's the whole point. Everything the globalists do is the end of logic, the end of prosperity, the end of 2 plus 2 equals 4. And if you can convince people 2 plus 2 equals 5, you have them. Winston Smith, while being tortured at the Ministry of Love, that's why it's loving, he worked at the Ministry of Truth, that was really the Ministry of Lies, he's being tortured. And they go, we know you weren't rebelling against us, we just want to torture and kill people. You're too smart. O'Brien torturing him says, I'm smart too, they'll probably torture me to death, I love it. I hate beauty, I hate goodness, I'm a priest of power, I'm going to rip your teeth out. And I'm going to torture you for 3 months until you aren't even human anymore because I am part of the cult of power and I'm going to ruin everything good. I am a devil worshiper. Now, how did Eric Blair, of one of the highest, most elite intellectual families, interbred with the elite eugenics families of the Huxleys, the Wedgwoods, the Galtons, and the Darwins? How did he write that book? And then you read it and think it's a horror book, but then you actually study totalitarianism. That's what it is. Because he was let into the Fabian Socialist, he was in the OSS, he was in MI6 after that, and the plan was so evil, he wrote that book, and then he wrote a bunch of papers. I've got a textbook I ought to bring in, and I was trying to find it in storage the other day that I read in college, a whole textbook on him with his letters and his articles and his nonfiction. I probably read everything George Orwell wrote, Eric Blair. And he says in there, I was let into the inner sanctum, this is what happened. He wrote that about 3 months before he died. They killed him, folks. He didn't die of tuberculosis. And I would read that in high school and then read it again in college. And I've read it like 3 more times since then. And I cry now. And I'm serious. Not like retching when your grandma dies. Tears just start coming out of my brain, so threatened by the evil that all I want to do is warn people. That's why I'm tearing myself apart on air. Because I'm forcing myself to admit this is going on. I see these predators creeping up all around us. And I know the public can't handle it. I can't handle it either. But digressing before I get into the bombshell news, because it illustrates the headspace that they basically get us into. I'm sitting there yesterday just mentioning a few of the crazy things that aren't crazy. See, we say they're environmentalist wackos because they want to bankrupt the whole country and turn off all our electricity, basically. No, they're not. It's a plan. They're moving the industry to dictatorships they control. It's global governance. It's economic warfare, in their own words, using rigged stock markets, rigged currency, rigged interest rates on record to shut everything down that isn't controlled by them. It is a 100% total, complete, abject annihilation of capitalism, of free market, choice-driven, demand-driven, quality-driven, free association-driven, renaissance-driven, flaming, liberal-driven cornucopia, the spirit of Christmas present that God gave us. And instead, it is Leviathan death. And I was just thinking about it, and I talked about how I want Paul Watson, I meant to call him yesterday, to take like the 30 or 40 wild things where they go out and say, we're sorry, Muslims, that you have to rape us. Here's flowers. Oh, and you know, all the rest of it. And it'll be so good when all Germans have been bred out. We're an evil people. This is said by the head of the Green Party, you know, on national TV. These are sick freakazoids, okay? Truth is, they just hate everybody. They want total control because they're going to exempt themselves from everything they're doing to you. It's a total assault. And then I saw this article today. I mean, it's every day. Gateway Pundit, Infowars.com. Dozens of Swedish women show support for Islam by taking selfies in hijab after Brussels massacre. And they go and apologize and say that Western men are being mean to women, basically. So they flip reality and they make it all about how Western men are bad. This is the cutting edge feminism is to defend Islam. Swedish women are showing their support for Islam by taking selfies after the Brussels bombings in hijabs. This is from Hijab Prophet website, where the approving Muslim men tell the feminists what to do and they thank them. The violence against Muslim women has increased and is extremely worrying. Their basic rights are not being respected. Their civil rights are being respected. And we need to put a stop to this. Being called names in the streets, getting their scarves and hijabs ripped off their heads, and being slandered has become a daily routine for many Muslim women. And then it goes into how horrible the Westerners are to them. And, of course, these women ought to just wear hoods over their heads, like most of the Muslim countries, and have their genitals cut off, and then live with a dog chain around their neck or have acid poured on their face to really live the true Muslim lifestyle. How about you being a slave brothel that are legal in most areas of the Middle East? Slave brothels. That's real feminist, isn't it? They call them harems. We have set out to arrange this walk because we cannot allow this behavior any longer in our society anymore. Come and show your support Friday, the 26th, 1700. In Stockholm, this is Stockholm Syndrome. Isn't it funny? It's in Stockholm. We will walk from Klutherhusten, Platten, to the mosque at Medborgarplatsen. This will be a silent demonstration. Wow, women have absolutely no rights under Islam, and these brain-dead women are holding a rally in support of the barbarians. Unreal. And look at this. The approving Muslim sites are dozens of Swedish women show their support for Islam by taking selfies in the hijab Instagram. Isn't that just cute? Hey, how about you take selfies next to photos of women being hung or stoned to death? In fact, just Google women being stoned. Women, don't show it on TV. I don't want to show it. I can't watch women getting killed. Facebook, Twitter, you name it. Plus, if we show it, the Muslim sites come in, they're trying to censor us right now and file fake complaints to shut us down, saying we shouldn't show their handiwork. That's right. The handiwork's okay. We're the bad, evil Western pigs because you know why, don't you? We showed it and we don't support it. You see, in those countries, in the less radical ones, women have to cover everything but their faces and look down and don't talk to a man unless you're talked to. Basically slave plantation level stuff. But in many of the countries, probably about half of them, they got to wear full outfits where your face can't be seen. Invisible people can't drive a car, and it doesn't matter. They push it on universities. They preach it. They promote it. I'm skipping this break. I can't help it. It's too important. This is a network break station. Shouldn't be covering this up, folks, just so you know. The network break comes up in about a couple minutes, and then there's the regular break at 29 after for stations. Just think about this. And then just yesterday, they have the Swedish head of this culture program who took over the government-funded tweet about Swedish culture, which if you go there, it's all foreign culture. That's how you destroy culture and throw it in your face and dominate you and break you. And he says, I'm going to have sex with your daughter tonight. She's going to moan and call me daddy. That's a quote. And of course, he's not getting in trouble. The state is saying, absolutely, tell us the women belong to you. And the Europeans that have been programmed from birth to roll over and be slaves, they roll over and show their bellies. And the women put on the headdresses and run out with flowers and beg to be enslaved. This is what has happened. And I'm not exaggerating it. And this is going on at the universities where if they see Donald Trump 2016 written on chalk, they begin convulsing. Emergency psychologists are called. The dean talks to 40 plus people. And the dean comes out and says, we're going to investigate this. This was meant to terrorize people. The word Donald Trump. We agree. And all over the country, they're arresting people for even doing chalk on their own driveways because they want to train you that there's no lemonade stands. There's no Amish milk. There's no farmers markets. There's no underground economy. There's no communication. And the greatest crime is a bumper sticker on your car promoting liberty or chalking your own sidewalk. You will be taught to submit. And if you'll submit to a bunch of arrogant, uneducated, stupid people running around in basically third world, pajamas and bossing you around, then you'll put up with anything. You'll put up with them saying your kids belong to the state and the word mother and father is bad. You'll go through the naked body scanners. You'll be checked when you come into the U.S. I first remember Mancow about 5-6 years ago. I was on a show and he goes, yeah, it's in the news today that people coming in from Saudi Arabia don't have to take their hoods off or don't have to be searched by the TSA or customs. They just go right through. I went and looked it up. It was true. I couldn't believe it. And now it's in the news that Muslim Brotherhood people coming in don't have to do it. I mean, it's a joke, but we do. We do. We have to take our crosses down. We have to submit. We have to roll over. We have to bow. We have to fetch. We have to grovel. This is our back being broken. And every day, I see the people that call themselves the left worshiping anything deviant, anything oppressive, anything sick. They say, you don't have free will. You don't have common sense. You're just a biological robot. We program you. But we have all these rights and our feelings are so important. And we're humans and we're beautiful because we're part of the establishment club allied with the state. Our ideas matter. We're a exalted, protected group. Everyone outside of it is an enemy and has nothing. We are exempt from Obamacare. We get free health care. That's what they get. The specialty university students, all these groups, they opt in. They become part of the socialist boards. And then it is selectively given to them, the free health care, the free housing, the free education. It's all select, though. And then they have disdain, as all parasites do, for their prey. When they see you running a business, paying all the taxes, jumping through the hoops, when they show up to inspect you, especially if they're socialists, they look at you with disdain and burning hate. And they tell you, line up and what's this? And you tell me what's happening there. And they just get off on it. Like all authoritarians and totalitarians do. And the thing they relish the most is overthrowing logic and 2 + 2 = 4. Common sense. That's why they had the Pope come out and say Italy shouldn't take any the Muslim migrants and the cultures don't work together, and that they need to, you know, send in Italian troops into Albania, which they've done. And he's got 100-foot, 200-foot walls, depending on the area. But he says, we can't have walls, and we can't check IDs, and Donald Trump's not going to heaven. And meanwhile, the Pope kisses the feet of asylum seekers. The Pope's ritual, where he washes and kisses the feet of 12 men, took place at the Center for Asylum Seekers just outside Rome, confirms the Vatican. I wonder if he'll stop all the pedophilia and kiss the feet of those people that were abused. I wonder if he'll kiss the feet of the Italians that for decades have had to pay for the electricity for Vatican City, whether they're Catholic or not, and Rome doesn't even pay for its own bills, the Vatican City and Rome. And I'm not against Catholics themselves. I'm against a Jesuit socialist running around lecturing us. Oh, but he's not the only one. This is the time of lecturing, isn't it? This is the time. Here's the big story. It's on drudgereport.com. Needs to go the most viral of anything we've ever reported on. Because this is the key to everything right here. This is a true Rosetta Stone, as so many stories are, but this is a whopper. I've told you that I noticed something coming out of China about 18, 19 years ago, about 97. And I started reading it in textbooks, and it's being pushed at Chicago Business School, you name it. And I would talk about it, and the intellectual sophist fops out there that are pseudo-intellectual would say, Jones is crazy. There's been many articles written. He doesn't know the difference between fascism and socialism or communism. Oh, I do know the difference. I know who developed them, who deployed them, the central banks of Europe. It's all in actual academic-level textbooks if you actually care to know reality and not what some twit told you in your, quote, college courses that are there to sabotage you and screw your mind up. You can actually go look at the last three Chinese presidents, their dictators, appointed by the Inter-Communist Bureau, the Politburo. Kind of like they're announcing presidents and candidates and nominees now in America. Oh, silly kid. Your vote doesn't count. See, it's the time of the season now to let you know. Your kids aren't yours. We're going to make you take shots. You didn't build your business. Remember all those times that communist leaders would bring in their annual Politburo meeting and have the first announcement before the doors were closed and it was secret. And it would be, search this, guys. Chinese president. China has perfected capitalism through communism. Another quote is, Chinese president, communism is the ultimate expression of capitalism. Now, you see, we're getting down to real communism now, folks. Not, you know, spaceships and, you know, mural paintings about heaven and jetpacks and free love and everybody lives longer and everything's fun. And, of course, it turns you into Moscow or turns you into North Korea, turns you into these hell holes. You see, because capitalism was just a 18th and 19th century term for big robber barons trying to take over the Renaissance and manage it and talk about money and flow and being able to build things. But it itself was never true free market. It was an amalgamation of the old East India and Dutch East India Company and a lot of other elites and a mixture of letter of mark type licensure through government and a mixture of French mercantilism. But it was a managed crony capitalist system. So think about that. So I explain that fascism and socialism and communism are all just different management systems that are very similar, but different in how they're given out in textbooks to confuse the proletariat into accepting total centralization and the process where they bring you into socialism, then communism, or they may bring you into fascism. But socialism gets you in debt, gets you dependent 30, 40 years. Then you collapse into fascism or outright communism for a period. Then there's a revolution and a reorganization, and a, quote, capitalist system is brought in that actually just keeps a lesser form of command and control in control and has a servile population that goes to the next level of development. And this is in all the textbooks. It's in the deliberate dumbing down of America with the Department of Education documents in it. It just says it as well. It's everywhere. But we're about to enter in America into the long winter of the re-education camps, the banning of speech, huge hordes of young people burning things down if the government doesn't do what they say, with higher-level multinationals directing the hordes, with the government on the backside allied with them, and people like George Soros. I mean, they're coming. Just like Cuba is open now, but only to a handful of companies, Microsoft, Google, General Motors, and others. And they're going to come in and carve up the incredibly rich country, the incredibly hardworking, smart people. They're going to come in with all these folks trained to work 18 hours a day and not complain. And they're going to come in there, and those are going to be some of the best robots the world ever saw. Now, the criminals, the rebellious, the trash is all going to be shipped here. But the communists are about to cash in, just like in China, on a, quote, one-state-managed capitalist economy with mobile execution vans. And if you complain, you'll be disappeared forever, like they do on ESPN. And no one said it was a scandal that ESPN didn't say that was wrong. We have our TV now broadcasting down there as people are beat up and disappeared. And they're going, good, get rid of him. Now, that's quite a buildup to our top story, isn't it? Here it is. Barack Obama, I'm sure you heard. Obama, there's little difference between communism and capitalism. Just choose from what works. And actually, no U.S. news even picked this up till we put it out and Drudge picked it up. See, because it's just meant to go under the radar. There's no difference between communism and capitalism. Now, who was wrong about the real labels, trendies, and pseudo-intellectuals that, you know, got their degree in a Cracker Jack box from one of these fake universities? They're all fake, didn't you know? Oh, I was right again. They're about to bring us into the collapse phase. Get ready, this is key.
I still believe in the American dream. I still believe you can hear me scream. It's still alive.
Live from Austin, Texas, and the heart of the resistance, it's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
All right, folks, we are back live. I'm Alex Jones, your host. I am really upset by what's going on and happening, and it's normal to be like this. We've gotten in this trouble because everything is about conditioning us and preparing us to just accept things 10 times worse. This is psychological warfare. It's public. Almost everything we talk about is actually admitted. They legalized 2 years ago, the CIA engaged in domestic propaganda operations. And you have to understand, folks, when you see them on the news saying your kids belong to the state, or saying that it was German blonde-haired, blue-eyed men that attacked women all over Germany, that is psychological warfare. You're meant to even know that's not true. And just get in the mode of accepting that they lie to you. That's why Obama goes on the news and says you didn't build your business. 2 + 2 doesn't necessarily equal 5. I'm going to air a special report. I'm actually too upset to be on air right now. Let me see some of the special reports. I may have to go off air today, actually. This is not an act. I can't be on air right now. This is just too big. We need to mourn for this country. This country's basically already in the cemetery. And just even being on air and being a talk show host is not even proper at this point. This is not drama. I just can't do it anymore. We've got to do something more serious about this. The president has come out and said there's little difference between communism and capitalism. That's why they always have the anarchists that are big foundation funded with communist red flags saying we're not communist, we're anarchist. We just want the means of production, quote, given to the people. That means you can't have your own business, your own shop. your own garden, your own farm. It means slave masters have everyone as slaves and control the means of production to control you, and you live in a prison. And everything with them is a lie. Just like they say, there is no communism. There is no communist threat. Communism is dead. Communism doesn't exist because the West is adopting it. The United States deployed communism. England deployed communism. The Rothschilds deployed communism in 1917 to Russia in the textbooks. They had congressional hearings about it. The CIA in 1949 put Mao Zedong in power. You ask why rich yuppie kids driving Jaguars and eating at fancy wine bars have Mao tattoos. Because they understand they will be the ruling class when we work in the slave factories. A lot of them actually aren't dumb. They're evil vampires who actually look forward to stomping the brains out of better men and women. They want to dominate us and hurt us. And the police don't like them, but you know what? You work for them. Same thing for the military. Now, I'm going to get into this and play the clips of Obama saying it here in a moment. I'm going to settle down, but I'm trying not to start yelling and screaming because it's not good for me. And then I've got a lot of work to do today. When I do that on air, it may be entertaining, but it's affecting me and I can't do it anymore, okay? But let me explain something, folks. This is normal. When your president is lying to everybody and bringing in final phase propaganda, you're in trouble. They're not giving us comic book communism anymore. They're giving us the last level lie that communism will give you total milk and honey and is pure capitalism because everybody's going to sit around and see rich people owning it, but they're living in a slave pit and going to ask, how is this communism when you come into Cuba and turn the tens of millions of people into slaves with select corporations and companies? And all the Communist Party people cash in on that. And then Cuba, 100 years from now, will be called communist when everybody goes there and a communist official is over the prostitutes that are forced to have sex with Western men at the casino and don't even get the money. It's such enslavement like Islam. It's so evil. And then we're sit there with these horrible Pib, glow-in-the-dark, and their little black outfits with all this money, with their executive parents running around teaching communism when they live in $10 million houses. I just hate these people. They're such criminals. They hate you and your family. They are enemies, people, and I'm here raising the alarm, okay? That's all I can say. I don't have words to be any stronger with you. I've prayed to God every day to give me the words and the information to present to you the truth so you can see it and really get how much trouble we're in. We are going, they want everybody cynical and dumb and laughing and everything. That's all the sitcoms, all the cartoons, all the dramas, all the movies are about arrested development, be a fool, be an idiot, only talk about sports. If you're a nice guy, if you're a trendy, you go to brainwashing meetings about what language to use and how to behave and how to act, not because you're stupid, but because you are entering the upper class of controllers as an inner party member to learn how to suppress your fellow humans. That's what they teach at colleges. Go to the higher PhD levels. It's all nanotech and chimeras and brainwashing and TV flicker rates. In the psychology department, you go over to the public policy department and it's talks with Gruber and others of how to lie and how dumb people are and how you prey on them. And you go to the next department and it's just all anti-human evil. Most of the professors at UT, I've been in there and I've looked at them and I've talked to them. They see me and they just give me this hateful mad scientist recluse look. And you've heard some of them on air. They're like, you'll never stop us. I mean, they are villains. They are the Legion of Doom. They're coming for us. They're here. They're out. allied with every evil organization you can imagine in their unified hate of God, in their unified hate of the individual. And I swear on the altar of God, I will resist them until the end. And I pray to God to unleash the spirit of liberty on the enemy. Do not give the planet over to these satanic filth. I got to stop. I got to say, kill 200 million people last century. God help us. They want to have their way with us now, and we just can't do it. I'm just going to stay on here. I'm not going to go to... Oh, God. You look at the eyes and the behavior of the communist Chinese leaders. They are the most evil people I have ever seen. They drip with satanic energy. And then you look at their little goblin creature, their little mentally retarded hermit kingdom, hereditary royal dictatorship that's communist. And they're now entering the phase. We wear crowns. We're above the law. We live in giant armored compounds and have jet copters and jumbo jets and sex slaves. And you work out in the fields 18 hours a day or in a factory for Apple. And if you complain, we take you. And we blow your head off. Or if we need organs, we take you and put you like a chicken at a factory farm and wait till somebody with your blood type and your genetic type, they got it down to that now, not just blood type, needs those, quote, fresh organs. And all these trendies that aren't in on this think that they're going to be safe and good in this new utopia because they're part of it. Let's put the meme up on screen before I play this Obama clip. Obama, there's little difference between communism and capitalism. Just take what works best from both. That's right. It works best in communism to have all these giant slave factories and force everybody off their land, poor peasants, whether it's Ukraine or Poland or Russia. They show up to your tiny farm, 20, 30 acres on average. Same thing in China. And you're living in a little mud hut, but you love it because your family's lived there 10 generations and you're super happy. And little kids got a little stick pole catching fish for dinner and they're all happy. And in March, the troops, and they just grab your kids, never see them again. They go this way. We'll take your women. Rape those every time. And then just grab the men and go, watch your skills. We're taking you 1,000 miles to the south. You're going to work in a factory. You're going to work in a commune farm. And there's this big, fat communist just eating food. Everybody else starving to death. And they'll say, just take a few out and shoot them. That's the essence of the Red Terror. Teach them that their life is nothing. You now live in the heaven. Enjoy it. And then, after they've broken everyone for decades, then they bring factories and say, we're going to have a little bit of economic work with the South Koreans or with the Russians or with the Americans or whoever, talking about China. And they're bringing a factory in, so only the best are going to get to go and work hard and do good, and you'll move up. Then they use those few success stories to get everybody else to behave and line up to work in the factories and get trained, and then suddenly you get nothing. But it's okay because the communists say they love the people, and Apple, the most abusive factory controllers, they're liberal too. They wear little gray suits and act feminine, and that's all camouflage. Oh, hi, you want to see the new Apple stuff we're coming out with? We're real liberal. Behind the scenes, savage AI takeover. Apple funding the launch of space bases. When is the Mars mission ready? I mean, they're just move forward. I want life extension now. I got to go out and give a speech to these animals. I'm telling you, I've been around high-powered people. You think I act aggressive and high-powered? This is exactly what it's like in the real world with powerful men. You're just never supposed to really see what men actually act like. The globalists sit around and they operate in the darkness, in a cloak of liberal, oh, we love you. Oh, we're going to help you. Ah, come closer to the mist. Come to the light, little babies, like a giant anglerfish. Well, I've been over to their side. I've seen it. I've studied it. I've looked at it. And let me tell you, pure death is waiting. You think an old, sick Nazi collaborator with all his evil overthrowing constant countries, putting in the radical Muslims to butcher the innocent Muslims. There are some really good Muslim people and groups out there. Those people are being targeted. And you know why they're being targeted? Because they're good. They don't have demonic looks in their eyes. They love God. They're not satanic, and the enemy is coming for them. And then when the globalist Muslims attack us, we go and attack the innocent Muslims. The people perish for lack of knowledge. And so Obama sits up there. People think this show is dark. They think it's hateful sometimes. I'm showing you what the enemy's really saying and thinking about you. I'm telling you, that's the good news. Is as scary as this is, at least you now know. And believe me, what I'm telling you isn't my opinion. It's a fact. I said 2 days ago, watch for them to announce that communism is the ultimate expression of capitalism, because I've seen them do the formula in over 60 other countries. And now they're saying, hey, live under communism, but still have multinationals and big banks and capitalism. We'll have a capitalist shop and we'll have a communist shop. Oh, by the way, you don't get a car or a house or air conditioning, and you don't get to shop at that shop. But they hide it in plain view. See, that's why the more powerful stuff I say, the more hardcore stuff that I say, the key things I say, they have the White House-run Media Matters and other White House-run groups come out and put it up there like it's insane and crazy. Because they're scared of it, they want to hide it in plain view, like, look at this stupidness. Look at it. Ha, 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 ha. He said Obamacare doubles and triples prices and has death panels. You see? They're waging war on reality. That's why they have the national feminist groups and the national green parties in Europe come out and say, we apologize for the racism of Germany, and we apologize for the rape of Muslim women by German and French men. No known cases, not happening, not going on. But in the news, they apologize to invert. That's why their symbol is a pentagram. What is a pentacle? Let's go into the esoteric, okay, that they tell you is the occult. That just means hidden, not satanic. The pentacle is nothing but the symbol of a human. You've got the head, you've got the arms, you've got the legs, and you're looking up. You're going up, just like a life rune is a tree going up towards the sky. What is death? The peace symbol. Death. Death. Their symbol is death. They're a death cult. They are inverting life. The pentagram. They are not a life rune. They are a death rune. They are not a live tree. What's a tree do when it dies? Its branches fall down to its sides. They hide it all in your face. And they think you're stupid. They are the children of death. All those that hate me, Christ said, love death. And let me tell you something. I didn't used to be a very strong Christian 20, 25 years ago. I'll be honest with you. But I've studied these people, and I've been up against them, and I've seen them. Let me tell you something, folks. They're getting their juice from something that ain't of this world. And Media Matters and all of them can freak out about that. I'm saying what supposedly 5 billion people of 7.5 billion believe. It's more like 6 billion. See, oh my gosh, 90% in national polls believe that Kennedy was killed by the CIA. What kooks? Oh my gosh. 6+ billion people or more, the vast majority of humans on Earth. I mean, atheists are even lower than that. I don't know the numbers. I'm just trying to be conservative. I bet it's 7 billion people believe in a master creator of 7.5 billion. I bet there's not 500 million atheists, as hard as they've tried. But it's not these churches where you're going to find God. No. It's in your heart, it's in history, it's in your gut, and it's in the enemy's activities as they pray to their evil gods, as they take pleasure in hurting innocent people, as they overthrow prosperity and goodness and wholesomeness so they can mutilate and mutate and vandalize and squat on all that is good. Let's go out to break. I haven't played the clip yet of Obama. It's on Infowars.com. There's a little difference between communism and capitalism. Yeah, when you're in Cuba or China in a slave factory owned by Apple, I think there is a big difference. The ultimate discrimination. Here's the clip.
You know, so often in the past, there's been a sharp division between left and right, between capitalist and communist or socialist. And especially in the Americas, that's been a big debate, right? Ah, you know, you're a capitalist Yankee dog, and oh, you know, you're some, you know, crazy communist, you know, that's gonna take away everybody's property. And I mean, those are interesting intellectual arguments, but I think for your generation, you should be practical and just choose from what works. You don't have to worry about whether it neatly fits into socialist theory or capitalist theory. You should just decide what works. And so you don't have to be rigid in saying it's either this or that. You can say, depending on the problem you're trying to solve, depending on the social issues that you're trying to address, what works? And I think that what you'll find is that the most successful societies, the most successful economies are ones that are rooted in a market-based system.
Oh my gosh.
But also recognize that a market does not work by itself. It has to have a social and moral and ethical and community.
A directorship that
basis.
Bleeds off of it. Yeah.
And there has to be inclusion. Otherwise, it's not stable.
Like communist China and Cuba.
And it's up to you as you
where the winners are,
whether you're in business or in academia or in the nonprofit sector, whatever you're doing, to create new forms that are adapted to the new conditions that we live in today.
I could teach a 8-year college course on that speech, and if you understood that, you would understand everything. The globalists, in their own writings, at the Carnegie Endowment in the 30s. And these are published. These came out in the congressional hearings in Frank Church's committee and others, that Anthony Sutton was the key congressional scholar really leading those events. And he wrote the books about Wall Street and the rise of the Bolsheviks, Wall Street and the rise of Hitler. That's all well known today. That was secret when Congress declassified it in the 60s and 70s. And people like Barry Goldwater and others had tears in their eyes when they read it as it was being declassified. He's up there. What did Carnegie Endowment say and the Ford Foundation later? We're going to merge the United States with communism and Europe. First, we're going to build up communism as a threat. Let it take over large areas. We'll give it the funds, the money, the weapons. We'll act like we're opposing it. Carol Quigley wrote about this in Tragedy and Hope as well. Go read it. For all you pseudo-intellectuals that are new listeners, think this is funny. This is directly from the guy that wrote an 1,100-page book for the State Department, the CIA, because in the early 1960s, they said, listen, our PhDs are coming in. They don't understand. We're anti-fascist, anti-communist, but we actually want to put communists and fascists in and dictators. Are we bad guys? And Quigley wrote an 1,100-page book, Tragedy and Hope, explaining, we sell it at InfoWarsStore.com, by the way, explaining to them. It was meant to be restricted. Patriot groups got it and published it no matter what Quigley wanted, and the government had to back off because it was actually funded by the government. So it's available today. The John Birch Society and others got it out. Back then, obviously, it was undercover, so they never wanted the credit. Quiet professionals. Let's just say quiet professionals smuggled the Death Star plans out, and then no one even cares. No one even buys it. We have Death Star blueprints, and now we're under it getting hit by it. It was one thing while they were building the stinking thing, and it was ravaging other countries. Now it's here. And we are under its tracking targeting system. It's warming up. It's clear to fire. You better learn about it right now. I like some socialist things. I like some communist things. I like some free market things. That's what they teach in every college class. Doesn't matter if it's foreign language. Doesn't matter if it's science. Doesn't matter if it's psychology. They're all told just to come in and just drop that in. You know, if you want tenure. Yeah, you know, there's a lot of good stuff about communism. It's had some problems. Capitalism's got some good stuff, too. Just to get your eye, oh, yeah, communism. You know, it's kind of like, it's all right to stick your arm in there with that cobra. See, cobras can be mean, but they can also be nice sometimes. You know, cobras, teddy bears, cobra. Capitalism, it's kind of like teddy bears a little bit and kind of nice, free market. But it's got some problems. And cobras, 10-foot king cobra, no big deal. Oh, how you doing? Just stick your arm right in there. It's going to take good care of you. And so you sit there and you listen to him, just real, oh, he's just kind of ambling over like it's non-threatening. He kind of dumbs his speech down and just to sound non-threatening. Oh, by the way, free markets do work the best, but when they're they need to work with a communist country. And what I'm really saying is the globalists are above the law and run the multinational grid and the new world cashless society, and then we'll have you under communism, total slaves, because you can't have cars and air conditioning. We want you totally under our control. We're phasing you out under eugenics. That's the next phase, and the final goal of collectivism is to get you dependent, turn off your life force, your survival instinct, so we can then just start killing you in mass, because wars and stuff aren't enough. So we need you to be under communism, but square that with all these rich people flying around on jumbo jets from Google and, you know, the Saudi royalty and closing down 10 miles of beach when the Saudi royalty comes to France. Yeah, yeah, you got to tweak it. And there's no rules except the ones we make. And there's no real ideology. Just black uniform police, cameras, total surveillance, forced medical systems, the family under attack, massive debt, dumbing down in education. Except for select elite schools for the children of the ruling class. And you look at TV today, it's the kids of the Bushes and the Clintons and all the rest of them on the shows. And the governor's brother and this and that. It's the ruling class. They all know what they're doing. They hate us. They have clean vaccines. They give us poison vaccines. That's mainstream German newspapers. Just look at what they've done to us. Look at what they think about us. And they want that means of production. That's why they're banning the lemonade stands. It's why they're banning the little local markets. It's why they're targeting the little guy with high taxes. Because control of the means of production is total enslavement. That's why you got to buy the books, the videos, the T-shirts at InfoWarsStore.com to fund us. While we still have a small piece of free market choice left, it's so powerful that if we get that idea out to people, it will overthrow the enemy by choice. That's why they got to bring in total tyranny, because people will just by choice, not even being intellectual, will gravitate towards freedom. So every bit of it has to be expunged. When the big night comes in, there can be no light, no stars, no moon, no nothing. Everyone will go to the fire of liberty, the Promethean flame of choice. So they've got to pose as the light, even as they turn the lights off, literally and figuratively. In Ceausescu's Romania, only his government district had light and food and caviar and the women. And Ceausescu had power for everybody. And his general staff said, sir, you're making a mad. He goes, I want them to see that only we have the light. Through us, they will see us like heaven and will think that we are invincible. No, that's your satanic impulse. It made them rip you limb from limb. InfoWarsStore.com. We have a bunch of big specials running right now. Go fund our operation. InfoWarsLife.com. InfoWarsStore.com. Give me the funds and the energy. And I assure you, I will take the enemy on.
Today.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
I said it before and I'll say it again. This is not a boss hog tyranny taking over that just wants to run things and wants to have big fat, you know, cows and pigs out on the plantation and only butcher them and slaughter them every once in a while. This is not a prosperity-based tyranny bloom. Those have happened before. They always are extremely successful for a while until the grandson or the great-grandson or the great-granddaughter gets control of whatever some super emperor set up and built because they wanted libraries and public works and huge statues and then breeding programs in the population and stoicism being taught, honor being taught. Those have only come along a few times. They always take over the known world in about 50 years. And then the rot and the corruption sets in and the decadence of the elites. They don't like seeing some lower level person with a wife better looking than theirs. They don't like seeing a farmer. What do you mean there's all these farmers that, you know, that my grandfather gave huge pieces of land to, and now we have a grain surplus when we had to import our grain just 100 years ago? You know what? I'm just going to take those over and make them be my slaves. and then the production plummets. This is the nature of evil. And we put a quick meme out today. The crew did it without me even telling them. That's a great crew right there. I just had three times as many people just as smart and good. It's taken years to get a crew this good. We've had some great crews, but this is the best. And of course it's the best as the evil comes in like a flood. That's how the universe works. I guess I mentioned a meme, but the point is they did a great job showing there's little difference between communism and capitalism. And then we show communism, totally empty store shelves, and capitalism, totally full shelves. Yeah, why don't we also just show a baseball game or something with a bunch of fat Americans. It does have a side effect. And then show North Korea, starving North Koreans. You know, we've had probably 30 contests or more, and I paid out on every one of them except one. And that's because I was out of town taking care of business a few weeks ago and in town, and I announced one, and then I didn't really direct anybody to be over it. And I never saw the submissions on the website. I can never pick a winner. I even forget which one that was. I mean, I've had $100,000 contest. But I like to do these flash tests. They're only like a week long and then like $1,000 just to make it fun. And then tens of millions get reached. But I'm going to do a contest. And we're going to go back and reverse engineer what that last contest was and find those entries, put them on the site, and pay that one out. That's $1,000. Because I've got to be true to my word. Because even if I get lazy and don't do it, not out of doing it on purpose, but just out of laziness, it'll become a virus that destroys us. But we really do need to have a contest for a meme about Obama saying communism and capitalism are basically the same thing. Of course, there's little difference between communism and capitalism. But you know what? Why should I even have a contest? It almost insults the great people out there. I just like to have a prize at the end of it because it makes it fun. It's free market. Just an added goodie. But how about defend what's left of your free market, and we'll just see what the award is next Friday. We may just say who I think the winner is, or it might be $50,000. Because that's really what capitalism and free market is. You don't know the outcome. That's what makes it so dynamic. Ooh, that's even better. Maybe you just promote freedom. Maybe there is no prize. Or maybe there's $10,000 or $50,000. I don't really have the money to do that. Not over $4,000 or $5,000, but man, I sure wish I could. I sure wish I had billions to fight these enemies. I could just absolutely tear the ground up underneath them and just smash them into a pile of rubble with God's help. I know the enemy. I know how to defeat the enemy. And I know you know how to defeat the enemy. But people need to pay a very close attention to this operation. Because I'll tell you right now, InfoWars is studied, not just by the Pentagon, but by other warfighting laboratories around the world, as the cutting edge of information warfare. Well, the secret, boys, is I tell the truth.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
In Dallas, Texas, three shots were fired at President Kennedy's motorcade in downtown Dallas. The first reports say that President Kennedy has been seriously wounded by this shooting.
It is a big idea, a new world order.
It was almost as if it were a planned implosion. It just pancaked.
Either you are with us, or you are with the terrorists.
But I also believe that a lot of gun owners would agree that AK-47s belong in the hands of soldiers, not in the hands of criminals.
Guns will be taken, and no one will be able to be armed. We will take all guns.
For many of the police and guard troops, it is an uncomfortable job to do this in an American city.
Is global governance at last? Is it one world? The central bankers in charge. But aren't we all just living and dying for what the central banks do?
As for me, give me liberty or give me death!
Live from the InfoWars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us. We're well into the second hour now. We're going to have a really interesting discussion, not a debate, because I like both men and respect both men, and both men have been very, very accurate on, say, 95% of what they have been breaking down. But Harry Dent and, of course, Peter Schiff are going to be on the full third hour today. We'll also take some calls in the second half of that. And then, of course, in the fourth hour, we've got one of our great crew running that operation, Jakari Jackson. So look forward to that. I'll tell you why I'm so upset if you listen to the last hour. It's because our worst case analysis of the globalist program has just been totally confirmed over and over again. And in fact, the New World Order takeover operation appears to be even worse than our worst analysis. It's far worse than we even thought. So all I can say is if you want to try to stop something six times bigger. No, it'd be more than that. Let me see. Globalist-directed fascist and communist operations probably killed, let's be conservative, 260 million people, non-military combatants in the 20th century. That's a University of Hawaii demography study, and it integrates in with some others that show even higher numbers. I'd have the professor on, but he is he's a listener. He's aware of our work afterwards. I tried to get him on, but he is hearing impaired, to use the politically correct term. Deaf. But it's 262 million non-military combatants, non-military or combatants killed. So men, women, and children that weren't fighting by communists mainly and then fascists, about 60-something mil of it. And I've studied the entire globalist operation. They actually state their plan. Once they get in full control and control the means of food and production, they're going to turn loose automated robot systems to where we're completely obsolete and then dictate the terms of surrender of the human community incrementally, won't be an announced surrender, into social engineering, forced medical procedures, sterilization, drugging, THX-1138, to basically drug us, but also positronically, electronically prepare us for the next phase that will be a mass extermination program. And it won't be, people will willfully go and be euthanized. Now, a lot of people are going to die in the first waves of biological and chemical releases. They'll claim terrorists are running. And a lot of times they'll wind up real terrorists and actually let them do it. And then we'll go under a super medical slash fascist slash communist on the grassroots economically system that we will then have to basically submit to just to live in the armored technological reservations, which are really just big prisons in the globalist own words. And then they will have separate reservations in their own words, generally in remote, rural, beautiful, pastoral redoubts. And the enemy has been building a lot more of these, preparing, spending a lot of their time in them now. And you see a lot of preparations going from deliberate to intense to hurried to frenzied to hysterical. The enemy's like a fire ant hill that's been knocked over, just scrambling around insanely. But also with a little chuckle in their voice and a little skip in their walk and a little twinkle in their eye, though. It's a great work they're doing. It's pretty spectacular, actually. And they even know they're going to get destroyed, most of them, by their masters, but they don't care. It's just they enjoy it. They just want to be on the team. I realize that. You're not going to convince them to stop or not be part of it. They like it. It's good to be on a team. Everything is awesome when you're part of a team. Everything is awesome. It's really awesome, isn't it, man? Really, really great what you guys did to people, to humanity. Really, really great how you dumbed everybody down and taught us to hate our children and taught us to hate our unborn and taught us all how to fight with each other and hate each other and took our natural tribalism that was there for us to survive 10,000 years ago, but it's destroying us now, and claim you were going to end it when all you did was make it third dimensional and create thousands of new ways for us to hate each other. Thanks a lot. God, you people really are horrible. And you know you're horrible. That's why you hate us that aren't perfect, but we love life and God and love other successful people and love beauty. And you just can't exist with us around, can you? And you've taken our kindness for weakness. But you know what? I guess it is weakness. Because you take somebody at birth and you put them into this artificial system. And you wage war against logic. And you ridicule people that are good. And you create false systems and false heroes. People never had a chance to even get off the ground. Humanity is being aborted on the launch pad. Spaceship Earth is there, ready. And the elite don't believe that humanity can have access to all this incredible technology and life extension and everything else. They've just got a glimpse of it and are just fantastically awed. And are just seeing us as a big barbarous mass of people that has to be controlled and managed and culled and done away with because they're the guardians of all the neat stuff and what they've discovered. No, you've stolen it. You claim you're collectivist, but you collectivize the ideas, steal them, compartmentalize them for yourself, and then tell you, the public that you are the great visionaries bringing us into the one world order to stop world war and to stop famine, and then you burrow into your own IMF World Bank admissions. You are the main engines, the drivers, the captains at the wheel, the captains at the helm who ride out as defenders of the realm. But you're not defending the realm of humanity. You're defending this sick idea, this realm you're building where you merge with all the technology and become as gods. And imagine they have White House run publications that come out when I talk about this and do big articles on it and go, look how discredited and nuts he is, because they're hoping that everybody looks at that and goes, oh, this is crazy, hiding the black arrow that would take down the dragon. Hiding the spear of destiny, knowing the enemy's plan. These are the big secrets. Make no mistake. And this is what they don't want you to know. Are you going to let these people steal your destiny and your children's destiny from you? Are you really going to let the television and that false plastic culture dictate who you are? Get back with your family. Get back into the dirt. Go camping. Pray to God. Get on your knees. Fast. Do whatever you do to get yourself out of this world, out of this false system and into the real world, and realize that this is the great animating contest of liberty. To have President Obama come out and say that capitalism and communism, that there's, quote, little difference between them. We're going to play the video next segment. Just played it earlier, last hour. Is so huge because they're entering the final phase of world government with multinational, multi-trillion dollar companies. Less than 100 of them now. Really only 5 or 6 total megabanks. Openly announcing planetary government. Openly announcing they're tax exempt. With diplomatic immunity and above the law, and saying we're going to bring communism into the nation states, and that multinational, quote, capitalism, it's really not capitalism, it's globalist fascism, coupled with communism is the dream economy. Now, that's been in their textbooks for a long time. And I told you hundreds of times, I told you yesterday and the day before, that when they make that announcement in America, they're getting ready to implode the economy and bring in the new economy that is a, quote, managed economy by the global fascist allied with socialist and communist in the client nation. And then occasionally to give you fake choice, they'll flip it to fascist, but it'll still be multinationals outside with a tentacle into the nation state controlling it. Okay. There are trends in history. Everybody knows that. There are cycles. There aren't really any serious historians in the world, demographers, statisticians, sociologists, anthropologists, that disagree that the world is in the most dangerous position it's ever been in. They then have the New York Times and others come out and call myself and Gerald Celente and others fear porn dealers. I am legitimately concerned. I am legitimately mobilized. I am legitimately trying to warn people about how desperate things are so we can avert it and change it, like telling someone your house is on fire. You know, when you drive by their house and it's your neighbor, you call them, hey, your house is on fire. That's not a fear-mongering event. And the elites themselves are digging in while throwing all the gas they can on the fire. Communists killed around 200 million people in the 20th century. And to have our president going around the world promoting communism, when I got up at about 6 a.m. and saw Paul Watson's article, it was a punch in the stomach, even though I knew it. Even though yesterday I said, when they start saying communism and capitalism work together, look out. And sure enough, I got up and I saw it. And people say, well, are you surprised? You know what? It's one thing to be in the wrong neighborhood and people say, hey, you better not go in that neighborhood. People get mugged there. And it's another thing to walk around a corner and somebody has a big knife out and says, I'm going to kill you if you don't give me your wallet. See, we're now at the moment where it's happening. And what this signifies in a timeline they've run in countless other countries is just nightmarish. I felt really bad things coming. We've seen it intellectually. I discussed it the last year. Now, my gut level instinct is beyond anything it's ever been. And it was the worst ever last week. And I know people are feeling the same thing out there. Something big's about to happen. I think they're about to launch some giant war, mega economic collapse. The climate's perfect for it. What do you think is going on and coming down? I mean, obviously, if we reach out to the general public and try to wake them up, it is a moral humanity, an informed, involved humanity that's going to save the situation. I mean, that's what the Bible says. It's common sense. It's historical. We have become immoral. Whether you believe in the Bible or not, we don't have any compass now other than Hollywood and Wall Street and the globalists, who are really evil, anti-human people. And as I told you, Cuba is such a scandal. It's worse than classic first stage, second stage communism, because in third stage, it's a management system where you've got multi-generations brainwashed into collectivism, not knowing how to take care of themselves, but knowing how to work and follow orders. About to now have a bunch of factories move there. And if you think we've lost jobs to Mexico and India and China, get ready for Cuba. And then it's praised because it's a black guy who's liberal and is on ESPN. And, oh, look, they're dragging those people away. On ESPN, it's like a dark satire science fiction movie. So they're already building new factories there, the first time in 50 years. Alabama-based company, Kleber LLC, is to build tractors there. Isn't that just special? People go, oh, it'll help the Cubans. No, it's the managed one-party state system where it's communist, but multinational billionaires make all the money off of it. There's another name for it. It's called slavery. And that's really all these isms are. True free market has its problems because it makes everybody so decadent and somebody has so many choices and so wealthy that you become decadent and then your kids become spoiled and then they want power and then parties come in and corrupt gangs form and they say, we don't produce things, we rob all the wealth. And that's what they're doing. They want the power and the thrill of dominating the producers. They want to own us. They want to run somebody. You ever notice how somebody had never done anything in their life wants to tell everybody what to do? You ever seen like a 17-year-old son or daughter that's been spoiled? And they'll kind of boss their parents around about what car they should get or what vacation they should have, and they know everything. I remember when I was about 18 years old and moved out of the house. I was a pretty good son, but my parents had moved, and they were getting new carpets and stuff, and I was like, I don't like that car. I don't like how your house looks. I don't know. You know, you shouldn't go here. Before I had my own big life, boy, I sure knew how to run their life. Let me tell you. And that's the problem. Is every control freak, every sicko, every loon, every despot, every would-be thug, every psychopath, every sociopath in a governmental socialist or communist or command and control system gets a place at the table to sap off you and run your life.
You know, Australia is a good example. Canada is a good example. The UK is a good example. Why? Because each of them had mass killings.
Somebody somewhere will comment and say, Obama politicized this issue. Well, this is something we should politicize.
I'm not going to carry a gun. I don't want to be involved in a gunfight.
If I could have gotten 51 votes in the Senate of the United States for an outright ban, picking up every one of them, Mr. and Mrs. America, turn them all in.
Go ahead. Make my day.
So the notion that gun laws don't work is not borne out by the evidence.
He says that the Chicago police had a plan over this bloody 4th of July weekend. Nonetheless, as you indicated, Corey, there was a count of casualties that could have been from Afghanistan or Iraq.
We'll make it harder for law-abiding citizens, and criminals will still get their guns.
In many cases, the offenders, felons, some out on parole, some out on bond.
We have to respect the tradition in this country of people who want to defend themselves and their family from violence. There are people at high levels in this government who have bodyguards 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The average American does not have that.
Mayor Bloomberg, why can you defend yourself but not the majority of Americans? I mean, look at the team of security you got.
Every day, every school, at every level. One thing that I think is clear with young people and with adults as well is that we just have to be repetitive about this, and we need to do this every day of the week and just really brainwash people into thinking about guns in a vastly different way.
Was this the weapon of choice for a new kind of terrorist? When a 5-year-old girl said she and a classmate should shoot each other with bubbles, the school called it a terrorist threat.
AK-47s belong in the hands of soldiers, not in the hands of criminals.
You know, the right to bear arms is because that's the last form of defense against tyranny.
Lay down your arms, you damn rebels!
But we don't need the ability to arm ourselves against the army or the police.
What kind of a situation in the U.S. would you see that happening?
I mean, we've got a lot of constitutionalists and a lot of people that stockpile weapons.
Discover the clergy would help the government with potentially their biggest problem, us.
To say we're not turning our guns in, and we're not running, and we're not knocking down. If you want them, come and take them.
Rallying patriots worldwide in defense of human liberty. It's Alex Jones.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're doing the best job we can to stand up against the globalists. I want to open the phones up for people that have lived in communist countries and who have experienced what it's like to be brought up under it. In fact, Daria, I know, moved here when she was younger and has been in the military and been at Fort Bragg and Defense Language School and you name it. And she's from Russia. I'd like to get her view, maybe. I'm kind of springing this on her here in about 10 minutes for a couple minutes or so about her views of all this. But it's like hearing, oh, over in England, they have free health care. They have some of the worst in the world, and most of them come here to get their health care. Not that ours is perfect. There's this ignorance of all these spoiled Americans and Westerners with their iPhones and their cars and their money going, yeah, I want free education. Yeah, I want free bank account. Yeah, I want direct payments from the government. I don't want to work. And now because of robots and the rest of it, we're going to almost be at the point. But the government's not going to let you have all the goodies unless you politically do what they want. And that's called basically selling your soul. So I'm going to give the number out for people that have lived in communist countries or totalitarian countries and to give us your view on what you think of the president coming out and saying, hey, you know what? You guys have a feed open. I want to hear from you specific listeners who have been through this. Or maybe you love communism. Maybe you lived in it and you loved it. I've never heard anybody that lived through it and loved it unless they were an inner party member living in a palace. I mean, the Russian leaders, the communists, had their own racetracks for cars, horses, huge palaces, dozens of mistresses, did whatever they wanted. And everybody else just lived like slaves. And I get to see all these idiots running around talking about how bad freedom is. And we've just been a limited form of capitalism. It's been crony pretty much from day one. But compared to communism, oh my gosh. And I want to read the Solzhenitsyn quote here in a moment. The toll-free number to join us is 800-259-9231. 800-259-9231. And we'll get you up and on the air. But the reason I'm so upset is you can feel the quickening. You can tell that everything's accelerating. As I've said the last few years, get ready. And notice it's now happening. Communism is good. World government is good. The family is bad. Christianity is bad. We're coming for you. Because they're getting ready to go purely operational. Does it mean huge false flags? Does it mean economic collapse? Does it mean new big wars? Does it mean activating Islamic sleeper cells they have inside the country? 800-259-9231. But our story's up on Infowars.com. It's on DrudgeReport.com as well and PrisonPlanet.com. Obama, there's little difference between communism and capitalism. President Obama stoked controversy after he suggested to an audience of Argentinian youth that there was no greater difference between communism and capitalism and they should get and choose from what works. Obama responded to a question about nonprofit community organizers and the necessity of attracting funding from both the public and private sectors. So often in the past, there has been division between the left and right, between capitalist and communist or socialist, and especially in the Americas. That's been a big debate. Those are interesting intellectual arguments, but I think for your generation, you should be practical and just choose from what works. Yeah, just work with the big multinationals who are tax-exempt, who come in and put you under communism. And since you're going to be the managers, you could actually be managers for us. So just have no morals at all. Just be a slave master. You don't have to worry about whether it really fits into a socialist theory or capitalist theory. You should just decide what works, he added. See, that's globalism. Constantly being above the law, doing whatever you want, screwing everyone over, having total inequality, and calling it flexibility. 300 million Chinese farmers forced off their land in the Cultural Revolution and the Great Leap Forward and 60-something million starving to death and Mao killing another 20 million by the gun. Little poor farmers, 60 million dead. Oh, that's flexible. And then David Rockefeller writes an article when Mao dies for the New York Times praising his efficiency and a model for capitalism. And people go, capitalism? Mao was the top communist. Oh, Obama just came out and said the two can work together. That means multinationals are tax-exempt above the law offshore. I know I keep just repeating that because that's the key to everything, folks, and they hide this in plain view. Just like they bring in millions of radical Islamists from war-torn areas that invaded those countries with fake passports, don't even check them, let them attack us, and then tell us we've got to give up our rights, but bring in more of these people who are incompatible and don't want to live with us because at least they're anti-Western, anti-Christian, and that's enough. Yes, a jihadi isn't a good inter-party communist member that just, you know, that doesn't know that it's an organized crime faction of eugenicists in a satanic operation to hate humanity and set themselves up as absolute gods in Adam Weishaupt's own writings. Oh, I know, the intellectuals think communism began with Das Kapital and Marx and Engels. More mental midgets. It's on record. It came from the Illuminati of Bavaria and was launched operationally in 1780s in France. Look it up. The Jacobins. How many historians do I have on? I bring that up and they go, well, that's actually correct. The Jacobin operation is what we're currently facing. And then off the air, they'll be like, are you part of any secret organizations? How do you even know this? We'd like you to come immediately to Oxford. We'd like you to privately address the faculty and then have a public address. But, no, thanks. I better not come to that. I know what goes on behind the scenes. The general public has no idea what you're about to go through. And always the answer when communism delivers long lines and poverty will be, oh, Obama didn't give you the free health care. Bernie is now. And then, oh, he won't. This new Politburo leader will. They're going to bring. It's going to be chicken in every pot. We're going to have all these wonderful government people with multinational corporations milking it above us. Isn't that going to be fantastic? Let's read what the Nobel Prize winner, he said he wanted to give his prize away, by the way. He wrote a bunch of other books that were even more powerful. Alexander Solzhenitsyn. And how we burned in the camps later thinking, what would things have been like if every security operative, when he went out at night to make an arrest, had been uncertain whether he would return alive and had to say goodbye to his family, or if, during periods of mass arrest, as for example in Leningrad, when they arrest a quarter of the entire city, people had not simply sat there in their lairs, pawing with terror at every bang on the downstairs door and every step in the staircase, but had understood that they had nothing left to lose, and had boldly set up in the downstairs hall an ambush of half a dozen people with axes, hammers, pokers, and whatever else was at hand. These organs would have quickly have suffered a shortage of officers and transport, and notwithstanding all of Stalin's thirst for blood, the cursed machine would have ground to a halt if we didn't love freedom enough. And even more, we had no awareness of the real situation. We purely and simply deserved everything that happened afterwards. We deserved everything that happened afterwards because we knew. That guy could really write. He could really just simply write, but had a way of really saying how the soul saw it. Straight up writing. If we'd love freedom enough, and if we wouldn't have known, but we deserved everything we got. He doesn't have to say we knew. He said, if we only would have known. But we deserved everything we got because we did know, didn't we? You act like you don't know, you know. And so many of you think you're going to get out of this going along with the speech. We now have a country and a world where they tell you how to talk. And again, they're down to saying, don't say boy or girl. Say she or he or she or you. I mean, cult brainwashing. The cursed machine would have ground to a halt if we didn't love freedom enough, and even more, we had no awareness of the real situation. We purely and simply deserved everything that happened afterwards. And then Solzhenitsyn wrote books about how the West funded the whole Soviet takeover of the world before that, and before that, the Bolshevik takeover in 1917, and now they're going to do it here. And America's going to be this big evil thing running around taking over, and the world will stand against it, and it'll collapse down the road. And then, you know, apologize for what it did. I mean, this is just how they flip it over and over again. And then things that don't look as tyrannical that are opposing it are accepted by the people because they're opposing this new great evil. That's how the little mind games work. I'm going to go to your phone calls. I didn't plug really last hour or this hour, and it's obviously going to hurt us. I just need people to know that we really do sell the best nutraceutical supplements out there. I mean, if you're not taking Super Male Vitality or Brain Force, or if you're not trying Super Female or Super Male Vitality, if you're not getting Lung Cleanse, if you're not getting the Liver Shield, if you're not getting the Deep Cleanse, we've got a lot of amazing products that are back in stock. Deep Cleanse, with the zeolites and the shilajit and all the rest of it, is our number one best-selling product if we could keep it in stock. But because of the type of things that are in it are so hard to procure, it's sold out most of the time. It's back in stock. InfoWarsLife.com, InfoWarsStore.com. It's 10% off by itself, 15% off if you get it with a liver cleanse. They go together. You can do liver shield and deep cleanse just under the tongue or in water every day and not even do the deep cleanse overall. The deep cleanse is a product, but we have a deep cleanse program where you take the deep cleanse, the liver shield, the oxy powder. You can get that 20% off, all three together, or the liver shield and the deep cleanse together, 15% off. And then we've also got, by the way, I had my accountant in here yesterday looking at things, and they said, look, you got to quit discounting as much. That's why there's not any extra money for things you want to do. And I said, okay, so that's why these discounts are a little bit less right now, because I just can't do it. But please support us, support the operation. We need your prayers as well, obviously. We're facing evil maniacs, so covering it sounds crazy, but it's real. It's there. The president's basically selling communism worldwide, posing in front of Che Guevara signs. Survival Shield X2 at InfoWarsLife.com is also available. You can pull up mainstream news articles about 15-point IQ increases in regions that had it added to the salt, and the feds ordered it taken out and started adding fluoride, the bad halogen. This is really the most important product out there, total. InfoWarsLife.com as well. To sign up for the free newsletter so we can stay in contact with you, send you exclusive videos and articles and more. Infowars.com/newsletter to just put in your email there and we can stay in contact with you. I'm going to go to break and come back and take some calls. We got calls from Italy, Poland, Yugoslavia, Venezuela, China, and many, many others here. And I want to get, we should probably do whole shows where we do this in the future because we're going into really serious bondage. But we don't come with a gun to your head like communists and say, give us money and then order you how to live your life. Or order you to be a laborer. I'm just here saying we have high quality products, free association, free market. Buy them. They're really great. We've got the big spectrum of high quality heirloom seeds from fruit trees right down to the best tomatoes, pumpkins, you name it. Springs here, the best shortwave radios, the best T-shirts. I think InfoWarsStore.com or 888-253-3139. But let's go to. We've got Stefan lived in Yugoslavia. We got Ty lived in Poland. We've got Alex, Nevada family in Italy. It's almost communist now. They don't call it that. Goose was born in New York. I mean, he's in New York, but born in Venezuela. Let's go ahead and go to Goose in New York first, then to Stefan and others. Goose, thanks for calling. What was your experience in Venezuela?
Hey, Alex, how's it going? Well, I guess let me put it to you this way. I lived in Venezuela when I was a kid, and then I came over to the U.S., thank God. And at that time, though, Venezuela was actually quite fantastic. You could pretty much get anything you could get in the West. And at one point, I believe Venezuela was the second richest nation in the Western Hemisphere. It wasn't when I was a kid, but it was still pretty good. And now it's just rubble. It's horrible.
I've talked to folks that have lived there and have family, and you can have a 100-acre farm, you're blue collar, but you're independent, you're successful, you're happy. And they just show up one day and say, this family is moving in with you, they're going to be your boss now, and they're going to take basically 80% of the small profit you have, and then their kids start beating your kids up, they move into your bedroom, they throw you out in the barn, and then just one day your dad doesn't come home and he's been killed and they just say, get out of the house. And that's communism. I mean, is that a good way to describe it?
I would say, I want to tell you a quick story about...
Well, stay there. I'm going to come back to you. Yes. In fact, I shouldn't just go to a topic like this and then not have hours because you're going to hear folks. Or let's say you got a private school, another story I was told, and you've only got like 20, 30 students. It's very small. It's a husband and wife run it. They're accredited. They just show up and say, you're now going to pay our people to be teachers here. And by the way, we're moving into your upstairs, bedroom and kicking you out on the street. I used to be such a sweet, sweet thing till they got a hold of me. Yeah, I got no friends. They read the papers. They can't be seen with me. And I'm feeling real shot down. I'm feeling mean. No more Mr. Nice Guy. Truth is, the papers are so discredited when the papers attack you, people love you. But folks are still intimidated because they haven't been in the papers. They don't know it's all a hoax now. When that monster, Rachel Maddow, calls you deeply racist, it's a badge of honor. When Megyn Kelly lies about Donald Trump, it's a badge of honor. You guys are the ones that are mean, and so we're here to tell you, no more Mr. Nice Guy from us. All right, let's go back to the caller, Goose, in New York. Then we're going to go to Stefan and others. Goose in New York. Okay, tell us your Venezuela story, sir.
Okay, so there's this pasta shop that I usually go to in New York. Actually, anybody who's in New York should check it out. I think it's called Piemonte. It's in Little Italy. There's this Ecuadorian woman who runs it. And every time I go in, we chat with each other. She asked me where I was from. I told her Venezuela. And automatically she thinks, oh, well, but, you know, fantastic country. Had one of the best economies in the world at one point. And that's where a lot of people from Ecuador and from nearby countries used to go over to Venezuela to look for work and to start a much better life. And I had to break it to her that, no, that's not how it is anymore. Actually, I have family from Venezuela who now left and they went to Ecuador.
That's right. And for folks that don't know, they took countries in the 40s, 50s, 60s, and 70s and made them, quote, go socialist. Then later they just come out and say, no, I'm actually a communist, like Hugo Chavez. Turned out he was signing them on to all these debts, keeping the money on purpose. That's the deal. And it's so sick. So what's the country like now versus when you were there?
Well, last time I was there was in 2009. And I didn't go back. I never wanted to go back after that. There's so much violence. I have a cousin who actually was working in the administration, and he left. He went to Ecuador. That's how bad things got. And he was actually involved in the party. But his wife was a forensic scientist, and for some time she worked in a morgue doing autopsies, and she would tell me she would get 80 bodies on a weekend. If you can think about that number, every weekend, 80 bodies coming in, that's how much violence there was. It's just impressive. I would see violence all the time. I saw some guy outside of a bank get shanked and tried to hold, you know, sorry to your viewers or to your listeners, but, you know, just trying to hold in his insides. Yeah. And then one of my neighbors got, he got his head busted open and torched alive. And it was kind of crazy. Never seen.
Well, that's what happens when the resources get taken away. If a country never had resources and then they get taken away, it gets worse. It's not that bad. But you take resources away from countries that were really well off, like Argentina or Venezuela, they descend into hell. Look at Mexico. A lot of poor people, but they had culture. They had a life. They were culturally rich. They're now in deep trouble. And when we fall, it's going to make Mexico look like a cakewalk, folks. And I'm sorry to say that. I mean, it's going to be explosive. God bless you. Good to hear from you, Goose. Stefan in Florida lived in Yugoslavia. Give us your take on it. Go ahead.
My name is Stefan. I used to live a couple decades in Yugoslavia. Watch your show for quite a while. And, I have to admit, I lived there only from 70s and 80s, so I really didn't see, like, the post-Second World War was going on. But in late stage, I mean, it was kind of like pretty civil, all the kind of like darky stuff was going on after the Second World War.
But, sure, and I mean, Tito, from what I've researched, was one of the better communist leaders because he wanted to have wealth and things and kind of ignored it. And then after he went, things fell apart because just gangsterism and infighting took over. But still, you're saying they had the duchies, the communists were rich, the inner party was rich, everybody else was poor?
Well, I mean, that's kind of like very vague. Like, for example, Tito himself, when he died, he left $0 to his family. I mean,
sure. Of course he did. Stay there. Back in 70 seconds. Don't hang up, Stefan.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
Mother, tell your children not to walk my way. Tell your children not to hear my words, what they mean, what they say. Mother, mother, can you keep them in the dark for a while? Can you hide them from the wedding world? Oh, mother, mother, gonna take you down the house tonight.
We're gonna go to Alex in Nevada, Liberty Monk in New York, and others. Let's go ahead and go back to Stefan. So, Stefan, describe life in Yugoslavia under communism. Go ahead.
All right. So, like, as I said, like, I really haven't seen, like, 50s and 60s, but, like, 70s and 80s were, like, a pretty good place to live. But what I wanted to say is, like, I definitely do do like what you're doing and appreciate, like, your effort.
Well, I appreciate you, too. But, are you on a speakerphone?
No. But I just have a couple of facts. It's not like a criticism, but I think, like, there's, like, a confusion recently. I was speaking like somebody who was living there. It's like, I think, like, people are way much confusing, like, communism as a political template, like what Marx and Engels wrote with the political deeds of certain dictatorship governments and so on. It's like, you know, let's say nobody's ever going to blame any capitalist government.
Now, I hear you. Like, brother, I want to go to you, but I just can't understand much of it. But I get what you're saying. You're saying that there's one thing to have it in theory in a university, but it always just creates a horrible dictatorship with a new ruling class above the law, correct?
No, what I'm saying is, like, I think, like, it's each time you have a communist dictator...
I got to let you go. I can't understand you. I'm sorry, Stefan. Thanks for calling, though. You know, A for effort there. Was that phone that bad, John, when we took that call? Wow. Or people get excited once they're on air and talk too loud. I just couldn't understand it. Liberty Monk in... Newhap, wherever that is, you say you lived in China. What's your view on it?
Well, just first off, I want to say super male vitality, way better than I thought it was going to be. But getting into China, went there as a student, shocked. I'm super into martial arts. I love Chinese culture. And when I went there, I realized I knew more about their culture than they did. The wow. Cultural Revolution basically stole everything from them. Three main points I want to bring
That's
up.
That's the biggest thing. Oh, my gosh. I love our callers that actually get their points in. That's it. They take your culture. They erase everything. One of the richest, probably the richest in the world is the Chinese, the oldest, incredible. And they got the ultimate capitalist, the ultimate hard workers, the cliche is true, killed like a third of them, erased it all, ruined it, and put some alien globalist communist garbage in over them. Sorry, go ahead.
No, it's fine. But that was one of the biggest things that hit me the hardest when I got there. It was like I was expecting Jackie Chan's and Kung Fu fighters the whole time, and I was just walking around, and everybody was like weak, just weak people. And I had an older guy come up to me, and he passed me secretly like this book on Taoism. He just slid it under the table to me and was like, "Hey, man, you know, we're not allowed to tell people about this nowadays. The kids don't know about this." And I just was, it was so
sad. They kill you for teaching that. They kill you.
Oh, yeah. And I was speaking to one lady. One lady was basically saying, you can't have a job in the government if you have religion. And Mao Zedong is their religion. They hate Mao Zedong, and they love him at the same time. It's a love-hate relationship with him. And I feel like that's kind of who Obama wants to be. Like, he wants to be loved and hated, but he just wants to be known. He just wants his face everywhere.
Yeah, he wants the guy to bring fundamental, incredible change. And he's the guy that defends Fidel Castro, Mao Zedong, the greatest mass murderer in history. And you're right, the Chinese hate Mao Zedong. Even the party admits he killed 84 million people. The CIA says 60-something. They say 84. And people forget they arrested his wife after he died.
Well, and the craziest part about it is that, you know, they have the little Mao red books
everywhere. I'll tell you what, stay there. I got two big guests coming on, but I want you to be able to finish what you were saying because I want to kick the discussion off with Mr. Dent and Mr. Schiff straight ahead on the incredible announcement of Obama about how great communism is. Stay there, Liberty. We'll be right back. Calling from New Hampshire.
Defending the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic. It's Alex Jones.
Longing for the sun, you will come to the island without me. Longing for the sun, be welcome on the island many miles away from home. Be welcome on the island without me. Longing for the sun.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We've got loaded phones from Romania, Italy, folks talking about Bosnia, China, people that are there in country and people calling in from the United States with their horror stories of living under communism or even mild, quote, communism like Venezuela, where, oh, we're socialist, we're not communist, and then guess what? We're communist. And blue-collar people being kicked out of their homes and communist being moved in. Hereditary little farms, four or five generations, poor people. And the communists show up and say, you're going to pay us particularly a percentage of what you make locally, and you're going to come by and you're going to work in my farm for nothing, or I'm going to have you arrested. That's Venezuela. That's communist light. And then to see ESPN and MSNBC with people being grabbed saying, Libertad, down with the Castros, dictators, young people being beaten up and drug away by police into cars, and ESPN laughing with Obama and the reporters laughing, going, look, yeah, they got him. They'll do that when they come arrest Peter Schiff or anybody else they want to, folks. I'm telling you, or Ron Paul or Matt Drudge or Alex Jones or Harry Dent. And then Obama's saying, we need to use some of the stuff from communism, some of the stuff from socialism. Now, Liberty Monk, I'm going to briefly go back to him because this kicks off this whole interview. I wanted to get both these gentlemen on, Harry Dent and Peter Schiff, harrydent.com, europac.com is Peter Schiff's site, not to have a debate, because both guys I've been following for a decade or so, Schiff even longer, and they're about 95% accurate. They have some of the most high accuracy rates just from reading their work and watching them that are out there. But they disagree on a few things like gold. Gold's been going back up a little bit. And when things are going to implode and how. So I don't know who's more right. And it's not going to be a contest about who is more right. It's about really having a serious debate because I want to know, and I know you want to know about the global meltdown that's accelerating. The Federal Reserve saying they're out of bullets, but still saying they're not going to increase rates now. All the things that are happening, it is an epic time. So I think it's more of a discussion about how bad is it going to get and what's the next shoe to drop? Is there any way to pull out of this? So we're going to talk to these men here in about 2 minutes, 3 minutes. But if you just tuned in, here's Obama in Argentina. It was a wealthy free market country, quasi out of another form of collectivism for the elite control of what was put in there basically by the European powers, colonialism. But it was almost as rich as the U.S., rich as an Argentine, in some areas maybe richer than people in the U.S., until they went under globalism, went into debt, brought in socialism. Really smart, hardworking, great people. And they are now up the creek without a paddle or even a boat. Venezuela was wealthy and happy just 40, 50 years ago. Now it's a hellhole. That's admitted. And Obama is up there saying, oh, capitalism, oh, you know, communism, take from both. We need multinationalism. We need you know, these big multinational trade groups. That's globalist companies, tax exempt, regulation exempt. They get to come into Cuba. They get to come into China, get sweetheart deals with the inter-party officials. That is slavery, folks. Communism doesn't exist, in my view. We'll get both these experts' view on that. But first, here is a condensed clip. It goes on for like 10 minutes. Full clips up on Infowars.com. Our stories on DrudgeReport.com. Obama, there's little difference between communism and capitalism because Ron Paul said it hundreds of times. When the real collapse comes with this global system based on fraud, they're going to blame capitalism and bring in something even worse. Crony capitalism on top of communism. And now we're here. How do we get the public to understand what's happening? We're going to spend the rest of the hour on this with our guest in a moment. We're in the third hour here today. Ja'Kari Jackson hosts the fourth hour today. But right now, let's go to this ominous clip. You thought him posing Monday in front of Che Guevara, a mass murderer, a guy that called Native American subhuman and black people basically names I'm not going to repeat. This is who Obama stood in front of. We ought to get his quotes and actually put that picture of Obama back up with all the racist quotes of Che Guevara. Communists are so hateful. Here it is.
You know, so often in the past, there's been a sharp division between left and right, between capitalist and communist or socialist. And especially in the Americas, that's been a big debate, right? You're a capitalist Yankee dog, and oh, you know, you're some, you know, crazy communist, you know, that's gonna take away everybody's property. And I mean, those are interesting intellectual arguments, but I think for your generation, you should be practical and just choose from what works. You don't have to worry about whether it neatly fits into socialist theory or capitalist theory. You should just decide what works.
All right, hit pause. I'm going to go to Liberty Monk at the bottom of the hour if you can hold, because I want to go to our guest and I want to finish this clip. But understand, China doesn't just take your property if you're a poor farmer. They rob the poor. It's the rich doing it. It's just highway robbery. They take your organs if you're a Buddhist and have committed no crime. They have mobile execution vans. That's the Associated Press. They killed 80-plus million of their own people. But he says, oh, intellectually, but that doesn't exist. Oh, yeah. Just like tyranny's never around the corner. You didn't build your business. Let's finish the clip and go to our guest. Here it is.
And so you don't have to be rigid in saying it's either this or that. You can say, depending on the problem you're trying to solve, depending on the social issues that you're trying to address, what works?
Oh, what works?
And I think that what you'll find is that the most successful societies, the most successful economies are ones that are rooted in a market-based system, but also recognize that a market does not work by itself. It has to have a social and moral and ethical and community basis.
That's enough. That's enough. Turn it off. So you have to have communism managing it with the top generals getting billions over the slave camps. And communism is the moral. See, capitalism, you got to have it. It's good to have it offshore running things. But in the country, the moralness is the communists, because they killed the most people and is the most immoral thing on earth. And the ultimate form of discrimination and absolute slavery. This is a U.S. sitting president who just came back from Cuba running around promoting communism. I've never seen anything like it. Let's go to Peter Schiff, because I can see him on the Skype literally just turning red and laughing, but also getting angry. I mean, this is amazing. Then we'll go to Mr. Dent, harrydent.com, europac.com is Peter Schiff's site. Mr. Schiff, this is really wild.
Yeah, no, this is a disgrace. I hadn't even heard about it until you were promoting the show, and I quickly went online and saw it, and I posted it on my Facebook page. But, you know, the fact that President Obama is saying that, well, you have to look at communism and capitalism and choose what works, doesn't he know that nothing about communism works? It's a complete disgrace. It has destroyed the lives of millions and millions of people. Literally, many people's lives have been ended by communism, but it's impoverished hundreds of millions of people. The only thing that works is free market capitalism. And if the president of the United States can't embrace that, especially in a country like Argentina, after just coming from Cuba, I mean, when can he embrace it?
Well, you heard him say that communists don't really take your property. I mean, that's like saying that, you know, that bears don't go to the bathroom in the woods. I mean, this is the biggest lie I ever heard.
Yeah, it's like, look, we can just have a little bit of communism. It's okay. Let's just use the good parts of communism. Yeah, what are those good parts? Please identify those good parts. There are no good parts. It's all bad. It's not like there's some baby that you don't want to throw out with the bathwater. It's all bathwater. We want free market capitalism. The freer, the better. And if you want to talk about morality, capitalism, free market capitalism, without all this government, is the only moral economic system that exists.
Absolutely. This is so important, the death of our republic, that I've even been skipping breaks today, because it's like a nuclear bomb went off or something in New York. I mean, I'm just actually staggering around right now that it's getting so naked, and I wonder what's coming next. I also should introduce you guys, Harry Dent, obviously harrydent.com. We're about to go to him, author of The Demographic Cliff and editor of the free newsletter Economy and Markets, a big turnaround specialist, of course, with Bain Capital previously. I'm not going to go through all of his Harvard Business School degrees and the rest of it and some of the top companies he's run. And then, of course, harrydent.com is the website. And then, of course, Peter Schiff has been on over the years even more than Mr. Dent. No stranger to this audience, but a lot of new listeners. He heads up billions in management with Euro Pacific Capital, europac.com. And he's an American businessman, investor, broker. His dad was one of the top famous people exposing the IRS fraud and died as a political prisoner just a few months ago, sadly. And so europac.com is his site. Let's go ahead and get Mr. Dent's take on Obama's statements, and then I want to launch into where you both think the economy is currently and what your latest projections are, and then maybe areas you guys disagree on, then we'll also take some calls. But Mr. Dent, good to have you with us as well.
Yeah, great to be back. And hi, Peter. Haven't seen you since St. Kitts. I totally agree with the one statement he said about free market capitalism. People don't realize in the late 1700s, free market capitalism met democracy. And they are actually opposite principles in a way where merit is totally represented and rewarded, but everybody gets some say. So it trickles down. And we've had both of those been killed in the last decade. The central banks have hijacked free market capitalism, totally set the markets with zero interest rates, which means there's no risk in total speculation. And I know Peter totally agrees with us on this. We got a casino economy here, but also democracy has been hijacked by special interests. People with zillions of dollars that can decide whether Mitt Romney runs or not. It's not whether you're in favor of Mitt Romney or not. It's the fact that the Koch brothers said, we veto him. And that 158 families decided half the funding for all the primaries and stuff. So we have a failure of what has made us successful. And I think this is where Peter and I totally agree. Free market capitalism and democracy to balance it out a bit has been the key to success for hundreds of years. And why we're so wealthy and why China is not and Russia is not. And now we're killing the golden goose. It's insanity.
Killing the golden goose.
I actually disagree with one point on democracy, because the problem that you're talking about is an inherent flaw in democracy. The founding fathers recognized that. They called them factions. And they wanted to protect us from the evils of democracy by installing an American republic with a lot of safeguards against democracy. And the problem isn't that we don't have enough democracy. We now have too much of it, because those safeguards have been whittled away over the years by a Supreme Court that doesn't enforce the Constitution.
Yeah, sure. And I think he's saying special interests then manipulate the Democratic vote in our Democratic republic. But I mean, I think we're basically debating different levels of this. What would you call the real world system coming in, where the top 10 corporations or so want a monopoly, they control governments, they are now promoting socialism to domesticate the general public, to make them dependent, to secure their monopolies? What do we do when David Rockefeller is promoting Mao Zedong in the New York Times op-ed pieces? I mean, why do we see ultra mega rich so many times in history, to both of you, a first shift, financing and working with collectivism?
Well, you know, what we have now is a form of socialism, fascism. That's basically what we have. I mean, we have, you can call it corporatism or crony capitalism, but fascism really describes it. You go back and look at Mussolini, Italy under Mussolini, or even look at Nazi Germany, take away the concentration camps and the racism. But if you look at the economic parts of that, of what fascism was, that's really what we've devolved into. You know, and people who think that fascism is the opposite of communism, no, it's not. You know, they're both forms of socialism. Sure. Communism is more extreme than fascism, but I don't want either one. To the opposite end is freedom. I guess the extreme opposite is anarchy. I don't want to go that far. I want to go as close to anarchy as possible.
That's right.
But still have a government. That is dead on,
Peter Schiff. What is your view, Mr. Dent, on what he just said? And what would you call this global system? And then adding to that, what would you call China? They call it one-party rule, communist capitalism. What is it really?
Okay. Here's the difference between communism and socialism. Socialism tries to include more people and provide a safety net, which up to a minor degree makes sense to me. It's like having insurance, like all of us have insurance. But when it comes to where anybody can get anything and there's no incentive to work, obviously it's not good. Communism is different. Communism is top-down management of the economy, which is the worst possible thing. Because it gives the power to the political elite and the people who kiss their ass, pardon my French here. And that's what China is, and that's what Russia was. And Russia already failed. Russia tried to compete with the United States in the Cold War and failed because their economy failed. They put 10 times what we did in their military, still couldn't keep up with us because free market capitalism works better. And again, democracy to me provides that a bit of a balance, which is necessary, which I hate to say it, is kind of like socialism. I mean, everybody has a vote and everybody has to do pretty well if the system is going to work, unlike before democracy. But it is capitalism that drives innovation, drives and reinvests money in the best areas. And governments have stopped that. There's no reinvestment.
Sure, they want monopoly. So let me ask Schiff this and then back to you. currently, what would you call the U.S. government versus the Chinese government? Where do you think we're going? And obviously, they now admit, both of you have been proven right, that the Federal Reserve raising rates even a tiny bit didn't work, that they would then stop. They're talking about cutting them. Other countries are. What's the real state of the world? Both of you say we're going to hell in a handbasket, you know, three, four, 5 years ago when the media says we were doing great. You've been proven right. So what's coming next?
Well, yeah, first of all.
Go ahead, Peter.
Yeah, well, first of all, with respect to, you know, to China, I mean, you don't have to have a vote to be free, right? I mean, my vote is canceled out. It doesn't even matter who I vote for, because the guy I vote for is going to lose. So the fact that I can vote doesn't mean I'm free. What's important to me is economic freedom. And actually, in China, there's a lot more of that now, unfortunately, than there is in the United States. So just because you can't vote doesn't mean you don't have a lot of freedom. And just because we can vote, you know, it doesn't mean we're free. You know, the Russians could always vote. You can always choose which communist you wanted to vote for. So voting is overrated in most cases. But getting back to the economy, one thing I agree with Harry about completely is that the economy is a disaster. All this talk about the recovery, it's President Obama who's peddling fiction, not Harry and I. The economy is a mess thanks to the Federal Reserve.
Wait a minute. He said a few months ago we have the best economy in U.S. history.
Yeah, well, he doesn't know anything about U.S. history. He's proven that again today. But he doesn't know that communism doesn't work. So you can't believe anything that the president says. But the only thing that where I disagree with Harry is what does all this mean for the value of the dollar and for the price of gold? Because Harry believes the U.S. economy is going to fall apart, and that's going to benefit the dollar, and the price of gold is going to go down. I think when the U.S. economy falls apart, the dollar's falling apart with it. And I think gold's going to go up. So we agree on the problem. We just disagree on one aspect of what's going to happen as a result of the problem. And it's an important aspect if you're an investor.
Yeah, it is important, Alex. And I just look at the evidence. Since the crisis started in January of 2008, that's when we officially entered the great financial crisis before governments turn it around with zillions of dollars of stimulus just to erase everything and cover it over, the dollar has gone up. It went up in the downturn. Gold went down in the second half of 2008, largely because of the rise of the dollar. But the markets were telling you the dollar was the safe haven, the best house in a bad neighborhood, not gold, because gold is a part of the commodity complex that went up in the early 2000s. Into 2008 to 2011 and has been crashing faster than any other bubble. We're in a series of bubbles that are all crashing, and gold is part of it.
Let me address an important distinction here. So this is important. So when the 2008 financial crisis hit, the dollar was at an all-time record low going into that crisis. And when the crisis started, the reason the dollar rose is because people didn't know what was going to happen. They thought banks were going to fail. They thought all these dollars were going to disappear. They didn't realize that there was going to be bailouts and QE1. And the minute the government bailed everything out, the dollar tanked. And the dollar didn't only start to rise until people believed the Fed had successfully saved the economy and that we were out of trouble. That's when gold started to decline. It was because everybody had confidence that we now had a sound economy and what the government did work. Once this next bubble bursts,
this is where I have a problem.
Harry respond.
The dollar went up in the second half of 2008 when the financial institutions and Lehman Brothers was going down. It went up.
That's because, Harry, that was my point. That's because people thought that all these banks were going to fail. The minute the government bailed everybody out and showed that no everybody was too big to fail, the minute that happened, the dollar reversed on a dime and tanked.
Okay, let me have each of you then. Let me do this. Let me do this.
It's still up 40% over where it was.
Let me do this. Three people yelling at each other over satellite kind of messes stuff up, but with Skype, it kind of turns into a big echo chamber. So just hold on just a minute. We have a long segment coming up. I want to give each of you, you know, 3-4 minutes on your view on gold, because this is kind of the debate segment where you guys disagree somewhat on the other side, so that Dent gets, you know, 2 or 3 minutes, you get 2 or 3 minutes, and then back and forth, because I really want to hear both your views. And I know the audience does. We all respect each other. This is really important. Now I'll say this. Dent, you were right that gold would start really going down the last few years, but then you said you wouldn't expect it would go back up too much. It has been going back up some. You say it's not a commodity. Schiff says it is. I really want to get both your views on this. So you go ahead, Dent, for the next minute and a half or so, then we'll come back, let you finish up, and then go to Schiff.
Okay. gold correlates with inflation. It's the best inflation hedge in all of history. That's why it was such a great investment in the crisis of the 70s, which was an inflationary recession, which I call the summer season in my four-stage model over a lifetime. Gold does not do well in deflation, and it is part of the commodity cycle that goes up and down every 30 years like a clock. Gold peaked in 1980, crashed into 1998 to 2001, bubbled 7.7 times in 10 years into 2011, and is crashing. It's a bubble bursting. It will have long-term prospects when we get inflation again, but inflation is not in the cards because governments and central banks are doing one thing and one thing only. They are printing massive amounts of money to prevent deflation.
Okay, stay there. Come back. I'll give you a minute more, and I want to ask the question, though. Why is gold starting to go back up again a little bit? I want to get your view on that. We'll go for like 3 minutes back to Peter Schiff. Peter Schiff, of course, is EuroPac.com. Harry Dent is HarryDent.com. I'm Alex Jones, and you are watching and listening and reading InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com, becoming one of the true news leaders in the world.
The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
We've got it.
This transmission is coming to you.
Waging war on corruption.
All right, you want to go?
It's Alex Jones, coming to you live from the front lines of the info war.
You know, on Monday, I'm going to spend at least an hour and a half taking calls from people that have been the victims of communism and collectivism. We'll also open the phones up if you love it. I've done this probably 15, 20 times in my 21 years on air. I've never had anybody call in who lived under communism that supported it. It was always some weird academic or some college student who wanted something free. And these people really are sheltered and wearing new designer clothes, driving nice cars with expensive iPhones. I've seen communist rallies in Austin now. There's red flags popping up all over the country. It's really sexy again. And I've seen them pull up in brand new Jaguars. I mean, new $100,000 Jaguars. But it kind of makes sense. They want to run and manage it and be the inner party members. And they're just dreaming of arresting libertarians and conservatives. I mean, I'm not kidding. So we're going to go back to our guests. We're going to open the phones up. But I'm going to get the numbers of folks for some of these other callers who want to come on Monday, since they're calling in from all over the world, from Pakistan, Romania, you name it, people that lived in Russia, Bosnia. I want to talk to you guys on Monday, but I'm still going to go back to Liberty Monk later to finish his China story, because it was so informative about how they had no culture. Chinese culture had been outlawed when he was over there as a student. All they know is worshiping Mao Zedong. I mean, it's wild. But before we go any further, we are listener supported. We don't come with a gun like the IRS and then give $450 million a year to NPR, who then begs for money every week or sells you $100 coffee cups, you know, with your donation to spew, you know, let's shut all our power plants off. That'll make us prosperous garbage. No, we sell high-quality products. Hillary for prison shirts to promote, you know, going after that crook. Molon Labe t-shirts, high-quality non-GMO heirloom seed banks. Spring is here. The nutraceuticals are the very best out there. And you heard a caller earlier, man, I wish I'd have gotten Super Male Vitality before. You're not playing around. Just get a bottle of it. You're supporting the broadcast and free market capitalism and folks that promote your Second Amendment and your private property. You need to invest in liberty, period, to not be overrun. And I know you know that, but most people are deficient with real iodine. You can't get real clean iodine. We went and got it. It isn't like the regular iodine that eats a hole in your stomach. It's totally different. Major game changer. Just like if you don't have enough vitamin C, you get scurvy. Same thing if you don't have the good halogen. And fluoride's the bad halogen and absolutely fries your glands. This is the answer. It doesn't just block these different radioactive isotopes when a nuke plant blows up. And different types of radioactive iodine. That's one reason people take it. That's not why I take it. There's not a lot of that out there in most areas. It's other stuff it blocks going into your thyroid, too. This is what it runs off of, folks. This gives me more energy every day than three cups of coffee. I've lost weight. It's incredible. It is a game changer. Survival Shield X2, InfoWarsLife.com. Just type into Google. Iodine being added to salt boosted IQs 15 points or more in the U.S. And then the feds took it out of the salt. Oh, we don't want that. They're getting too smart. I mean, it's that simple. We have big specials running on a bunch of the other nutraceuticals, InfoWarsLife.com, the liver cleanse, the deep cleanse, zeolite, Shilajit, all of it. Go watch the informational videos. Read the information. I can actually say with DNA Force, but it's sold out. Whole bunch of patents, certified. We can actually say it's known to regrow nerves and do stuff with telomeres and the rest of it. I mean, we've got nutraceuticals, folks. The highest quality, InfoWarsLife.com, InfoWarsStore.com, or 888-253-3139. And our latest male enhancement, it also works on females, by the way, probably even more, Anthroplex, but our market's men, so it's for men. For some reason, men don't want you to tell you it's for women, too. So, oh, it's just for men. There, I'll say whatever you want. Now, let's go back to Peter Schiff. I've been ranting. That was a short segment. I want to have him be able to counter in just a moment. But finishing up, Harry Dent, harrydent.com, with your view on gold and where it's going. Go ahead. Do we have Harry Dent there, guys?
Oh, okay. Okay. I thought you were going to Peter. Look, gold bubbled up along with the entire commodity complex from 2001 into 2008 to 2011 in April, late April 2011, at the day silver topped at $48. We said this is the time to get out of gold and silver. It's going to crash. Go to the next chart I have on gold. Gold was a bubble, and now gold is bursting. It went sideways after September 2011. For a couple of years, and then broke a key resistance area at $1,525. We were telling our newsletter subscribers, it breaks $1,525, it is toast. This bubble is over. And it went down to $1,180 almost immediately, and then bottomed at $1,050 and is bouncing. This is a bear market bounce. I've been calling for this more than anybody for the last several months. Gold is way oversold and is due to bounce to $1,300 minimum and maybe as high as $1,400.
Okay, I'm going to let you come back in a moment. And I am sorry, I was about to go to Schiff, and then I realized you had another minute. Peter, I think you've got about 4 minutes here just to be even. Go ahead.
All right, so let me reiterate this point now with gold. So gold went from under $300 an ounce in 2000 to a high of 1,000 on the eve of the 08 financial crisis. Now, when that crisis hit, nobody knew what was going to happen. People thought banks were going to fail. Depositors were going to lose their money. People were selling everything, including gold. And gold went down below 700. But then when the government came out with bailouts and 0% interest rates and quantitative easing, gold took off and it went to almost $1,900 an ounce over the next few years. Now, the reason that gold has declined from that point, other than the fact that it got overbought and you had a lot of speculators who came rushing in, is because everybody believed falsely that what the Fed did worked, that the crisis was over and everything was great. Now, here we are today in 2016. Gold is above 1,200. It's still 20% higher than it was at its peak before the 2008 crisis. But I think what's going to happen over the next several years and even this year is people are going to realize that what the Fed did didn't work. It backfired. We're in a worse shape than we were before the financial crisis. I think the Fed is going back to zero. I think they're going for QE4. And I think the dollar is going to tank and gold is going to take off. And Harry said so himself, that gold doesn't go up in deflation. It goes up in inflation. And we're going to have inflation. The federal government, the Federal Reserve, is not going to allow the other bubbles to deflate. They're going to print way too much money. They're not going to default on their U.S. Treasury debt. They're not going to default on their Social Security commitments. They're going to pay all this with printing press money. And so prices are going to go up. The price of gold is going to skyrocket. The only deflation you're going to see is in terms of gold. And if Harry is still saying not to buy gold, I don't know when he's going to turn around. If it goes to 1500 or 1600, at what point is he going to turn bullish and start advising people to buy? Because I think it's very risky if you think that this economy is going to implode the way he thinks it's going to implode. And you think the safe haven is going to be the one currency that we can print into oblivion, that somehow the dollar is going to collapse, the U.S. economy is going to collapse, and the dollar is going to reign supreme. That makes no sense to me. And that is a very risky bet that I would not want to make.
Okay. You used about 3.5 of your minutes there. I want to go back to Dent. Again, it's not a debate. It's a friendly discussion. But you guys are on all these big TV shows where they are vicious debates. And that's fine, because the problem is you tune in, though, they're usually debating a bunch of disinformation, just so it doesn't matter. Out of everything you're saying, I find myself agreeing with both of you, because it's true that if they're printing all this money, issuing all this currency, that we should be seeing devaluation in currency. We should be seeing commodities increase, but because of the demographic cliff, we are seeing a lot of depressionary things like in oil and other areas. But then I think about what Schiff has been warning of. You watch, they're going to start dumping treasuries and dollars. That now started accelerating in the last month. You also have all these cultures like the Chinese, the Indians, and others that have intrinsic value in gold. They're only accelerating their buying. I see other institutions hedging bets buying gold. So that's why, Mr. Dent, I don't know which one of you is right, because you guys, I guess, fundamentally disagree on deflation and inflation. You think deflation, that's what Harry Dent thinks. And then, of course, Peter Schiff thinks, no, inflation. So I guess we're segueing into a debate about that.
Well, Alex, first of all, every major debt bubble in history, which also creates financial asset bubbles in stocks and real estate and commodities, whatever, has been followed by deflation. Everyone, the 1930s was deflation after the roaring 20s bubble. And
but we were on a gold standard back then. It was deflation in terms of gold. The Fed couldn't just print money at will. Look, the president was in Argentina. The president is in Argentina today. Look what happened in Argentina. They didn't have deflation when that system collapsed. They had massive inflation. They had hyperinflation.
Country like Zimbabwe, we're not that.
And I'm not saying Zimbabwe. I'm saying Argentina. Harry, Argentina
more similar to us, though, of anywhere in Latin America?
Argentina was the fourth wealthiest country in the world at the beginning of the 19th century. It was a major industrial country, and it was destroyed. It was ravaged, and they had hyperinflation. They didn't go to deflation first. You can't look at the 1930s and say what happened then is going to happen now. This is a completely different economy with a completely different monetary system. And we have a lot more in common with Argentina than we do with ourselves during that time period.
No, we don't. You refuse to look at the facts. We have already printed more money than any time in history among all the major countries. And we have how much inflation? Zero. Zero.
Hold on, you guys don't get into it.
You don't understand deflation. When bubbles burst, financial assets collapse, debts fail, and that destroys money, and less money chasing the same goods equals deflation. End of story. No exceptions in history, except for Banana Republic. In a few weird circumstances.
Okay, I thought I'd get mad, but Harry, please don't have an embolism, brother. We love you.
No, this is crazy. The facts are the facts. If we were going to have hyperinflation from unprecedented money printing, 6 years later, we would have seen it by now.
Okay, so you're saying there's no amount of money printing that would cause inflation? Because, I see real inflation in some goods.
If you keep printing money and the economy fails anyway, you can't keep printing money.
Hold on just a second. Let's just take a breather in the corner for just a moment. You know, ding-ding on the bell. Just for a moment. Peter, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, you can't say there's no inflation and ignore what happens in financial markets, ignore what happens in real estate markets. That's the effect of inflation. You can't ignore the fact that prices should have fallen. Consumer prices should have come down, and instead they went up. So there's a lot of inflation there. And also, the numbers that the governments use to measure inflation are not accurate. They have been deliberately engineered to paint a rosier picture of inflation than that's actually
there. Obviously, that's part of it, Peter. But I mean, isn't there? What about oil?
Inflation and home prices and mortgages, which is the largest single cost of the average American family. They don't measure that accurately.
What about oil?
Yeah, oil. Remember, oil prices went down because the dollar went up. If you look at where oil was in the late 1980s, it was oil was below $20 a barrel in 1999, 2000. And it went from $20 a barrel to $150 a barrel when the dollar tanked for 7 years. The reason oil prices went back down is because not only did the dollar rise, but everybody believed that it would keep rising because they believed the Fed would raise interest rates in a growing U.S. economy.
Okay, let me go back to Dent for just a moment here, and then I want to shift gears to another subject. And Mr. Dent, I don't say this to be bossy because I like people yelling. It's you know, good radio and gets people thinking. But when you yell too much, it's overpowering your mic and we can't understand you. It's so loud. It's just the audio is cutting out. Restate what you were trying to say a moment ago. And then here's my question. You both predicted that QE wouldn't work, and you guys agree on more than you disagree. There's a fundamentals on this inflation, deflation issue. Where do you guys think we're going now? What's the Fed going to do? How bad is it going to get?
Again, to me, what happens, central banks keep around the world doubling down, especially Japan and Europe now, not the U.S., and that's why our stock market's gone nowhere for a while. they have to do this because they have to keep the bubble going, because when a bubble bursts, and this is the greatest bubble in modern history, and we don't have anything to compare to China on this. And I'm sure Peter would agree on this. China is the greatest bubble I've ever seen, studying hundreds of years of history. And it's top-down central planning, communist government, which has overbuilt everything, and it's going to burst. And when that bursts, there's no amount of money the Federal Reserve or the ECB can print to combat how that will send shockwaves around the world. So all I know, and I know this 100%, major debt bubbles also cause asset bubbles, and they will burst at some point.
Well, the media is telling us now, okay, things are getting bad. But I mean, aren't we already in the middle of a big bubble burst? Or what is the big bubble burst?
I think it's starting. We've seen three bubbles, 2000, 2007, and now 2015 top. We may get a slight new high in the U.S. if they really crank up the printing presses again. But again, what you have to realize is gold did see, as Peter said, its greatest gains after the 2008 crisis, where it did go down 33% and silver 50%, because the assumption was with massive money printing, we would get inflation. Gold correlates with inflation.
Okay, let's go back to Peter. Peter, instead of you guys debating this, because time's going to tell, we're going to find out who's right here, obviously. Unfortunately, I wish we weren't going down this road. What is the real state of the economy? What do you think the next shoe to drop is, Peter Schiff?
Well, I think the state of the economy is a disaster. I think we have a much bigger bubble in China. In fact, I think there's more opportunity than pitfalls in China. But what I would say is this. Even if Harry is right about what's going to happen to the price of gold, and I don't think he's right. You know, timing is difficult. I mean, the Dow never made it to 36,000. So sometimes things that you think are going to happen don't happen. But even if Harry is right and the price of gold goes down, the price of real estate is going down more. The price of stocks is going down more. The price of everything else is going to go down more. So if you have your money in gold and the price of gold falls, you're still going to be richer than almost everybody else on the planet. So you know what? It doesn't matter, because what matters is your relative purchasing power. So if you have gold and its prices drop and for some reason everybody piles into the dollar, okay, you're not as good, you're not as well off as if you were in dollars, but you're better off than the people in real estate and stocks. But if I'm right and the dollar tanks and you follow Harry's advice, you're broke. You've got nothing.
Well, let me ask Schiff this question then, Peter. What is the real state of the dollar right now? Because I know actually as the world economy gets worse, people tend to run to it to prop it up. As safe haven is the best worst house in the neighborhood, as you say, or the best house in a bad neighborhood. But at a certain point, I mean, can the dollar just go on forever? Or how do you see the dollar getting in trouble?
It can't go on forever. Just like the real estate bubble couldn't go on forever, or the dot-com bubble couldn't go on forever. Nothing that can't go on forever will. And this is a gigantic bubble. We have conned the world into supplying us with merchandise in exchange for money that we create out of nothing with no real value. We've been able to borrow all this money. We have no ability to ever repay it. In fact, if interest rates go up, we can't even service the debt, let alone retire it. It's all going to be inflated away, and the dollar is going to tank, and with it is going to go the standard of living of America, because we've basically decimated our industrial production. That is the problem. We're living on credit, on printed money, and this is coming to an end. And I think if you want to protect yourself from that, you need to be in gold and other assets.
Harry, what about this point? You talk about demographic cliffs, you talk about cycles. Hasn't gold pretty much forever been seen as a commodity of value, a store of wealth? I mean, I know you think it's not a commodity, but I mean, the elites always keep a piece of it as a hedge. Or are you saying gold's just going out? It also has industrial uses. I'm not propping gold up here. I'm just trying to understand your view.
No, I do see gold as a commodity largely. It's no longer a monetary metal after the early 70s, and everybody thinks it is. The total gold in the world would fit an Olympic-sized swimming pool. How could it possibly back the global growth in an information world that has nothing to do with commodities?
Sure, well, wouldn't it be fractional then? Wouldn't it just be a fractional?
You have to have a microscope.
The fact that it's scarce is why it's valuable.
Microscope to measure your gold holding, to trade it. And anybody want to take a Krugerrand down to the 7-Eleven and try to buy a loaf of bread?
Stay there. Let's come back. Going 5 minutes in the next hour with our guest. We can take a few calls, 800-259-9231. Specific questions, quick questions or comments for both our guests, 800-259-9231. We're about to go back to Liberty in New Hampshire. I cut off earlier, wanted to tell us his brief communist story about living in China. He was getting some of it. It was pretty amazing. how they tell you what to think and how to dress and what to do. That's the real oppression. And to see the left pushing for it is so sick. But, man, I did not expect you guys to get this heated today. What I do know is you guys agree on so much more than you disagree. And you've been right about the fact that our economy's going downhill. How bad, just a minute from each of you, how bad do you really think it's going to get, and what's the time frame? Because they're now admitting that much of the world's in a depression, that we're like an island, but the water is rising. Let's go back to Mr. Dent and get his take on that. Harry Dent.
Well, you know, I have this Dow megaphone pattern, most obvious pattern I've ever seen, similar to the late 60s and the early to mid 70s crash. Three higher highs with three lower lows. I'm projecting the Dow is going to hit 5,500 by, or maybe 6,000 at the best, by mid to late 2017, probably late 2017. I think gold's going to go down to 700 to 750, just ahead of that. And then I think, and I would, then I think the dollar's going to have some problems. And then I think gold could have some better long-term upside. But I see a major crisis, but I see the dollar going up to 120 on the dollar index. It's at 96 now. And it is up like 35% since the beginning of the 2008 crisis. So it, like gold, it's higher. And I agree with Peter that if I had a choice between buying gold versus real estate or stocks, I'd buy gold because it's already been pummeled. But I still see it as a declining asset along with commodities.
Sure.
Until this whole cycle turns around years
from now. Well, we're definitely going to find out. Let's go ahead and back to Peter Schiff. Peter?
Yeah, again, you know, timing is always difficult. Harry, I remember not too long ago, I think you were looking for Dow 1000, so you've upped your target. But, you know,
I never
that we're
said Dow 1000. Sorry, Peter. Oh. You misspoke more what? Facts than anybody I've ever.
Right. Well, what? Well, you used to have a lower. You used to have a much lower target, but my point is
3,000 to 4,000 as a potential years from now.
Right. Let me.
I remember 4,000. But
point.
Go ahead.
Yeah. But anyway, look, the fact that you can fit all the gold into a swimming pool doesn't mean it can't be the basis of a monetary system. The gold standard works. Just because we're more complex today in our innovation or our gadgets doesn't mean it doesn't work. In fact, a gold standard could work today even better than it worked in the past because of our technology. Yes, you can take your gold into a store and buy trinkets. You could buy a cup of coffee with it. Look, I've got credit card backed by gold, debit card backed by gold. Look at what Bitgold is doing. This is the easiest time. It's never been easier to be on a gold standard. Right. And individuals can adopt their own gold standard. They don't have to wait for the government to do it. But ultimately, we will go back on a gold standard, and it's going to work because what we got now, a fiat system, does not work.
All right, Peter, hold on. We're going to come back with five more minutes and then let you finish there. Mr. Dent and Mr. Schiff, but I want to go to Liberty Monk also in the next segment to talk about communism and kind of end it where we started. But real fast, just a quick question. Sherry in Texas wants to talk about listening on 104.9 FM. Not sure what station. We have so many affiliates. But thank you for tuning in, Sherry. You have a question about Social Security. Go ahead.
Thank you, Alex. Listen, the Social Security benefits will be decreased probably around 2019, 2020, and I know that because when I got my benefits, I asked the Social Security office, when all those baby boomers that are taking their benefits early amortize out, when they spend all that upfront money, will all our benefits at this time decrease?
Yeah, that's a great question. Real fast, 20 seconds each of you. Peter, where do you think Social Security is going?
Well, I don't think they have the integrity to cut the benefits, so they're going to inflate them away. That's the problem. We can't afford to pay. It's a gigantic Ponzi scheme, and they're going to resort to a printing press. And there's all this inflation. It's not just Social Security.
Let's go to Harry Dent real quick. Harry,
they can't pay anything.
Social Security, will they just inflate it?
In this economic crisis and the next two administrations, we're going to finally realize we have to retire at 72 to 75 instead of 62 to 65, and that's going to restructure benefits. We can't even remotely afford what's been promised.
All right, stay there. Thank you, gentlemen. We'll be back. 70 seconds.
The answer to 1984 is 1776. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
All right, I want to go real fast with these callers because I want to go back to Liberty Monk, but... Real quick question. HB, I guess, listening in Knoxville, Tennessee on WBCR 1470 is calling in. And HB, you have a question about the Rothschilds and gold. Go ahead.
Yeah, I thought the Rothschilds set the price of gold like every day or something like that.
In London, and back in the 1800s, they pretty much controlled it. I don't think that's gone on for a long time. Let me ask the gold bug here, Peter Schiff. Peter, what's your info on the lore of the Rothschilds?
I don't think it has any influence or any effect on the markets. There's a lot of conspiracy theories out there. You know, some of it is anti-Semitism, too, as if Jewish people somehow control the markets or control the banks or suppress the price of gold. But look, the price of gold is going to go up for one reason and one reason only. It's because politicians and central bankers keep printing money. They have screwed these economies up. They've been trying to buy votes with promises that taxpayers can't keep. And they've got many economies in a lot of
trouble.
Sure.
Separately, though, haven't some of the big banks that are competing with gold, haven't they been caught trying to manipulate the price of gold down, though?
Well, banks manipulate everything. The government manipulates the bond market far more than anybody tries to manipulate the gold market.
Well, sure, they admit that now. I mean, 10 years ago, you guys were talking about it. They say it didn't. Now they admit it.
But gold is like a canary in a monetary cake, a coal mine. And yes, central bankers don't want the price of gold to go up because it's a repudiation of what they're doing. They want us in their fiat. They don't want us in real money.
All right, let's get Harry Dent's response.
The competition is going to win in favor of gold.
Harry Dent of HarryDent.com, what's your take on manipulation of gold prices?
Well, no, I don't think there's that much. I think it's a market thing. And again, gold prices went up at first after 2008, after crashing, because everybody assumed, and naturally, if they're going to print unprecedented amounts of money, we're going to get inflation and even hyperinflation. My case has been 6 years has proven no matter how much money you print, you don't get substantial inflation. And when this bubble finally bursts, there will not be enough money to print. Right now, there's $250 trillion in financial assets and debt around the world. $100 trillion of that, if the 30s is any guy, will deflate. Destroy money beyond, so they have to print $100 trillion instead of $12 trillion.
Right. You guys are leaving me in 2 minutes. Shikari Jackson's coming up to host the rest of the hour. I'm going to come back and finish that call after you guys are gone with Liberty Monk and then hand the baton to Shikari with all the powerful info he's got coming up. Then we'll be back this Sunday, 4 to 6 p.m. with the Sunday broadcast. It's going to be taped this Sunday because of Easter. But I want to just ask both of you in closing, and thank you both for coming on, Harry Dent of HarryDent.com, Peter Schiff, Europac.com as well. When you, in your gut, because you guys are pretty accurate on this, what you think the next trigger could be to clearly make it seen that we're going down the tubes? Because even mainstream media now has finally stopped the mantra that everything's wonderful, everything's fine. Only Obama is still saying that.
Well, you know, I think it might be the Fed having to acknowledge that things are not as rosy as they've been.
Well, they just did that this week. They just came out Monday.
Yeah, well, but now they're already trying to backtrack on that a little bit. But I would suggest that one thing to throw out there to Harry, that it's pick a point, because let's assume the price of gold keeps going up. When do you acknowledge that fact? Because you don't want to go down with a sinking ship. If the dollar is going to collapse, and I'm right, you don't want to go down with that ship and have no gold and only dollars. So at what point, where does gold have to rise before you might reverse and say, you know what, it's not going down, it's going up, so let's buy it?
Yeah, it'd have to get above $1,525. I'm crystal clear on that, and I don't think that's going to happen.
Okay, but please answer my question. Sorry to interrupt. What's the next big trigger, or what are you watching? Because you really called it about a year ago. You said like 2 weeks this will happen and 3 months that'll happen. That was pretty scary. We got 30 seconds. What do you think is going to happen?
Okay, oil. We predicted oil would be down to $20 to $10 in the coming years. It's already hit $25. Oil going down kills the crackers. China, their real estate bubble. The stock bubble is one thing, but all the money in China is in real estate. That bubble keeps bursting. We're toast.
Sure, could an overdue earthquake on the West Coast do something? I mean, who knows what it could be, right, Peter? Or?
Yeah, third thing. Italy is going to be deep trouble by the end of this year, and that's going to kill the Eurozone.
All right.
We're still
You'll both be back, and we'll see who's right coming up. Thank you so much, gentlemen. Have a great weekend. We'll be back with the fourth hour. Stay with us.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
All right, Shikari Jackson is about to come in and host Out of the War Room, right here where I'm sitting in about 5-6 minutes. I appreciate Liberty Monk holding for a whole hour to finish his story about communism. And I promise on Monday, we're going to be on Sunday, but it's a taped show, but it'll be an original transmission, much of it, 4 to 6 p.m. On Monday, I want to do at least an hour, hour and a half, unless there's new terror attacks or whatever we have to cover, on people that have lived in communist countries and what it's like, and go over some of the atrocities and things, because those that don't know history are doomed to repeat it. And I don't want to ever forget some of the bad things Hitler did. Hitler was a really bad guy and did kill a lot of people. Quite frankly, he's way down the list of the biggest mass murderers. There's about 5 or 6 people in groups above the Nazis. And I just, people only know about Nazis. And I just, you know, we're not facing Nazis today, folks. We're facing the people that created the Nazis and communism as false political systems to confuse the general mass of the public. And it is a big deal that Obama's out promoting communism. It shakes me to my core. I went pretty, not even wild, but I was pretty intense in the first hour. And my family, everybody just tells me I need to chill out. I need to relax. I need to turn loose and not take it so personal. Okay, maybe I'm on the extreme of caring too much about them harvesting babies' organs and having chimeras growing in animals and chemtrailing us and everything. But everybody else is over here in La La Land just completely relaxed about it. I can't do that, okay? Or if I ever do get off this treadmill, I may never come back. I mean, I'm going to tell you, this is not a show to me. It's not a game. I know I'm right. I'm freaked out. And a lot of people that work around me, you love me and care about me, and I love and care about them too, but they also take it as kind of like I'm mad all the time, or I'm mad they're not doing enough, or no, it's that I'm frothing to fight the enemy. Like a dog watching its puppy being eaten, you know, by another animal, and it's in a cage and can't get out. It is chewing on the bars, pulling its teeth out, trying to, I mean, dogs will do that. If they see one of their puppies or something getting killed and they're in a metal cage, they will bite the bars till their teeth break because they just can't stand it. And I'm the same way. We're in the hands of really evil people. And I take it personal, and not because I'm a victim. I've been successful my whole life. I've had nothing but just a lot of great things happen. Bad things that have happened only made me stronger. I'm not a loser. I'm not a victim. I don't get upset about the New World Order because I want to feel like they're out to get me. They're jacking with the food and water. They write textbooks admitting they're killing us. I want to get these people, okay? I got an instinct to try to defend people because it defends me and my children. And again, I'm no hero, but I've told the story 100 times, probably, about my son was only about a year and a half old. We're at Le Madeleine restaurant, French restaurant, not fancy, just a regular kind of provincial restaurant chain. And I come out of the bathroom from washing my hands at the end of the meal, and I come walking out, and there's this woman standing up turning blue. Everybody going, call 911 like parrots. And I sit there about 30 seconds, and I go, do the Heimlich. Anybody know do the Heimlich? And I've been on swim team and had the fire department course. I wouldn't say I'm certified. I just have a basic couple courses. And they wouldn't help her. And I said, well, let me give her the Heimlich. And she was a big lady, probably 200 pounds. And they were going, oh, we can't do that. Wait for the ambulance. Wait for that. I mean, she'd be dead, folks. You're brain dead 4 or 5 minutes, depending on your physiology. And I got her and did the Heimlich, and she caught that a huge big piece of bread. And everybody, he's a hero. He's a hero. Is she hurt, though? Give me your name. They didn't even like the fact I helped her. Some of them, it was lawsuit time. She's probably big. I might have hurt her rib or something. I don't know. I felt some stuff kind of. I had to pick her up, you know, really get that out of there. I did a couple times. One worker, I went, all right, we're getting out of there. And, you know, really went at her. Basically punched her in the stomach, you know, at point blank range. And I just don't get, it's like 20 people not helping this woman. I mean, you better help me if I'm choking. What's your problem? I'm not a hero, folks. I'm just red-blooded. You punch me, I'm going to punch you right back, too. And the New World Order is our enemy. And the people running this government want to hurt you and your family and make you poor and poison you and run your life. Now, I want to go to this caller briefly and then go to Jakari. I appreciate him doing a great job hosting the show, but I'm wound up today. I'm going to have to shoot some videos after this stuff, too. I'm just too wound up. I got to keep fighting these people. But we're going to play a special report here on North American Union expanding from Rob Jacobson. I think it's voiced by Dude. But the point is, that's very important. So many great reports these reporters do. But let's finish up with Liberty Monk in New Hampshire. You were getting into being a student and living in China. Recap what you said and finish up. Thank you.
All right, yes, thank you for holding me on for a little bit longer. I just have this one story I could go on and on about all the crumbling infrastructure outside of the city or in Beijing or all the smog. But one thing that stuck out to me, and because Obama is in Cuba or went to Cuba, I actually met a young Cuban man when I was out there. I was training martial arts on Wudong Mountain, and we met a Cuban kid, and he came out to China, and he said he basically ran away to China to get away from Cuba's communism. And he was telling me, in Cuba, the guys, big muscle-bound guys, walk around with bats and there's gangs and, you know, the cars from the 50s. And the craziest thing about it is that he had to go to another communist country to get away from that form of communism. And that's just one of the many stories. I could write a whole article about China and
well, everyone should do it. Everyone should do it because that's what people don't know. Communism is always just a different flavor of mafia ruling over you and even making your wife have sex with them. I mean, for people that haven't studied communism, it is so nightmarish, it makes my head spin.
Yeah. Well, and that was one of the worst parts about it. It was dealing with all these people who had no idea who they were. And Beijing is a city that's like 10 times the size of New York. It's overwhelming. People crapping on the streets, smog everywhere, people smoking, wearing masks. And at the same time, thinking that it's absolutely lovely that now they have a little bit more money than they used to when people, cripples, are being shipped in from the countryside and you know, crawling around on their hands and knees. Literally, I saw this in a market square, like a cripple just crawling around on a wheeled cart and everybody just ignoring them. And,
well, that's another thing. People, like a child can be bleeding to death and nobody helps them. And it wasn't like that before communism in China. They have just turned it into a soulless demon pit. Paul Watson went there quite a bit because he was married to a nice Chinese lady there. Not anymore, but it was literally a hellhole. And then he even had the communist Chinese starting to contact him saying, you better watch it. You better not talk bad about China. And he was just like, whoa, you know, this is over the top. Yeah, people don't know. They just don't know. They hate America so much, the average trendy spoiled rotten, that they just want to bring it down. God bless you. I appreciate you joining us. Sorry to all the other callers. Jakari may want to get to you and try to answer your question. I'm not sure. It'll be his broadcast for the rest of the transmission. We're going to go to this piece, go to break, come back, and Jakari Jackson will haunt you the last 40 minutes. I'll be back this Sunday, 4 to 6 p.m. Central. Please buy the products. That's how we fund the operation, InfoWarsLife.com. Got some specials on the Deep Cleanse. And the Liver Shield and more, and the Survival Shield Nation Ion X2. That's how we fund the operation, InfoWarsLife.com. We need the support to continue on. Thank you so much, but you need these products. Here's the report on the North American Union.
In early March 2016, the Spanish company Cintra Zachary, who partnered with TxDOT to build the controversial TCC, or Trans-Texas Corridor, filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. Many of the highway's critics celebrated the news of the toll road company's failure. But this is just a single battle won in a much larger war. This battle, which InfoWars covered extensively in the past, is over the construction and completion of a NAFTA superhighway or corridor.
Building on the massive displacement of humanity caused by globalization, the New World Order is rapidly constructing the physical infrastructure of the North American Union, the NAFTA superhighway control grid.
The TCC was the first leg to be completed of this new transportation system that would physically unite Canada, the United States, and Mexico into one borderless trade zone.
The proposed Trans-Texas Corridor would be a patchwork of superhighways and railroads stretching 4,000 miles from the border of Mexico, cutting through Texas to Oklahoma.
As we covered in our film, Endgame, Blueprint for Global Enslavement, the plan for a North American superhighway included a high-speed rail system that would transport cargo from Mexico nonstop to an inland small port in Kansas City, Missouri. Economic trade deals and supranational committees, such as the Security and Prosperity Partnership of North America, signed in secret in 2005, have paved the way for massive multinational corporate projects. But what happened to this scheme? Now, with Cintra filing for bankruptcy, it would seem that this larger-than-life plan simply fizzled out. However, this is not the case. In 2011, the highly criticized TTC plan was shot down by the Texas legislature when they passed HB 1201. But HB 1201 had many amendments attached that would keep the Spanish-owned Cintra satisfied. Just days after HB 1201 passed, which killed the TCC on the surface, Texas State Representative Larry Phillips introduced HB 3789, which brought the corridor back to life with a vengeance. Cintra's original deal with TxDOT was considered a PPP, or public-private partnership. Essentially a sweetheart deal, giving an offshore privately owned company the same powers of the state, such as the power to change the state speed limit. HB 3789 strengthened these private-public partnerships, giving more power to offshore monopolies by giving them the authority to sign deals with the state of Texas in secret. I-35, the central artery of the Texas interstate system, is considered part of the NAFTA superhighway. And the Kansas City Inland Port, which is part of the TCC, is now up and running. Other NAFTA super corridors, whose construction began around the same time as the TCC, have also never ceased. One plan in particular, the Canamex Corridor, runs along the west coast of North America. According to Canamex.org, the Canamex Corridor Project is a broad-reaching plan whose key objective is to create a direct trade route from Canada to Mexico. This initiative is being supported for its development and implementation by the U.S. states en route for this plan: Montana, Idaho, Nevada, Utah, and Arizona. The website continues to describe some of the longer-term plans for the trade corridor. The Canamex Corridor was also specified by NAFTA to include a railroad system to match the advances in highway construction and vehicles with advanced rail systems. These are intended to take the form of larger, longer, and more efficient trains, making the maximum use of technologies such as double-decker cars and multiple engines that can pull immensely long trains. The Canamex Corridor is currently being managed by several companies, and like a connect-the-dots puzzle, is slowly linking smaller highway systems to form a larger trade route that will run from the southern border in Mexico all the way to the northern one in Canada. In March 2015, U.S. Senators John McCain and Jeff Flake added corridor extensions to the Intermountain West Corridor Act of 2015. According to the Phoenix Business Journal, this federal act was also extended to the I-11 corridor north from Las Vegas to Reno and northward to Canada. So, plans for North American trade corridors, governed by secret committees and international trade agreements like the SPP and now the TPP, are moving forward. The Kansas City Inland Smart Port is open for business, and it does not seem like the Centra bankruptcy did much, if any, to damage their long-term goals. Rob Dew reporting for InfoWars.com and InfoWars Nightly News.
Another excellent report from our reporters here in the InfoWars.com studios. I'm Jakari Jackson, and I'll be hosting for the remainder of the hours. We will be taking your call. Now, I will tell all of our viewers out there, a lot of times people will be left over from the regular show, and I will tell you that our guests have left us today. So if you had a question for our guests, they have left us, but you are welcome to leave your comment if you so desire. Now, let's start off with a video. Alex was playing this a little bit earlier today, and it's talking about Obama. We've seen Obama, he recently went out to Cuba, as Leanne McAdoo had the report. He was salsa dancing and taking selfies in front of Che Guevara and doing all types of things when people were saying he should have been focused on other issues. But now he took a little bit of time out of his busy schedule to talk about this. There's little difference between communism and capitalism. It says President Obama has stoked controversy after he suggested to an audience of Argentinian youth that there was no great difference between communism and capitalism and that they should just choose what works. Well, when you think about choosing what works, what if you chose a healthcare system that works? If you chose a website that actually worked, so when you did go to healthcare.gov or whatever it was, you could actually sign up for the Obamacare that you so desired. Let's go ahead and take a look at this clip, and we'll come back with more comments.
You know, so often in the past, there's been a sharp division between left and right, between capitalist and communist or socialist. And especially in the Americas, that's been a big debate, right? You know, you're a capitalist Yankee dog, and oh, you know, you're some, you know, crazy communist, you know, that's going to take away everybody's property. And I mean, those are interesting intellectual arguments, but I think for your generation, you should be practical and just choose from what works. You don't have to worry about whether it neatly fits into socialist theory or capitalist theory. You should just decide what works. And so you don't have to be rigid in saying it's either this or that. You can say, depending on the problem you're trying to solve, depending on the social issues that you're trying to address, what works? And I think that what you'll find is that the most successful societies, the most successful economies are ones that are rooted in a market-based system, but also recognize that a market does not work by itself. It has to have a social and moral and ethical and community basis. And there has to be inclusion. Otherwise, it's not stable. And it's up to you as you And whether you're in business,
that's enough of that clip. One of the things I thought was so interesting about what he said there, to have a stable economy, you have to have all these things, but he didn't mention a gold standard. I think if we could just go back to something that's that simple, that would alleviate a lot of the problems that we're facing right now. Now, in other news, we'll stay on this political spectrum. We'll talk about Mrs. Clinton. She's leading the corporate media poll results, which you guys would expect. I love that GIF. I'm just thinking off the top of my head. It's the picture of the guy shoving up that picture, or shoving up the statue of Hillary, all the media outlets shoving her up there. But we see this one. This was on the site today from Kurt Nimmo. And it says, according to corporate media polling data, Hillary Clinton leads Donald Trump in the race for presidency. Fox News, Bloomberg, CNN, CBS, they say she has a 11.2% lead. And it's the same coalition that twice elected Barack Obama. So it doesn't surprise me at all to see that they're pushing her out there. We've seen all types of things in the campaign trail, all the shenanigans. You know, so I'm not Bernie Sanders fan, but I think she is cheating, just to say the least, to beat old Colonel Sanders there. And if you are going to beat the guy, that's fine, but do it fair and square. I really think they're pushing her up a little bit too hard. And I often hear the criticism, you know, people who are Hillary supporters, they say, well, she's just overqualified. That's why you guys hate her. I'm like, no, it's like Benghazi and emails and saying that she got shot at by snipers and she assigned autographs to little girls. Those are the things that concern me when you talk about people's character. There's a lot of talk about character in this election cycle, as there is in everyone, but especially with her, when you think about, you know, I remember in 2008, she would get off the plane. They show the footage of her getting off the plane when she was in Bosnia, I believe, signing autographs for little girls. And she's saying, yeah, I was dodging sniper fire. And then when they asked her about it and they showed her the footage, and I think Cheryl Atkinson actually reported on that. And she was like, oh, I misspoke. Well, why don't you stop misspeaking and let the people speak who are accusing your husband of all these horrific crimes? Now, let's talk a little bit about the situation that's going on over in Brussels. You guys recall just here recently, they had the terrible terror attack. Multiple people died. The images of the airport torn to shreds and all that. And now police are saying that they've made more arrests in the terror plot. And they say they may have actually foiled another existing terror plot. They arrested some people here recently. They said they shot two guys in the leg and another guy was taken in. And they say they caught a guy carrying a bag of explosive material. So it's a very scary thing to see not just these things happen, but on such a regular basis. And, you know, what's the question about it? What's the remedy for this? What's the cause of it? And many people have many different answers for both of those things. But it's to the point where you can't let the terrorists win, because you always hear they hate you for your freedom, right? Well, if you shelter in place, if you don't go out and you enjoy your life, then they have actually truly won the victory that they are trying to get across. Now, I have a story right here. It's not the most hard-hitting news of the day, but it is an interesting sign of the times. This was put out by Adan Salazar. Microsoft's AI bot goes from benevolent to Nazi in less than 24 hours. So basically, Microsoft put out this chat bot to talk with the youth of America. I think they're targeting 18 to 24-year-olds. And they were just basing the AI responses off of the text in the tweets from other people. Now, I can't talk about all these on there, but the ones that I can, if you go to infowars.com/show, you can read them for yourself. It started off innocently enough. She said, hello world, you know, says the tweet bot. It was Tay Tweets. And then it went from humans are super cool to chill, I'm a nice person, I just hate everybody, to I effing hate feminists, to Hitler was right, we need to kill the Jews. And it just got worse from there, if that was not bad enough. But it just really shows you the mindset. And I'm sure, you know, these are, young people, you know, 18, 24. I'm sure there are even 13-year-olds on there who threw in their, you know, little hateful rhetoric. But those are the silly things that go on the internet. Like, I was talking to somebody a couple weeks ago. I can't remember exactly who it was, but we were talking about internet validation. And I was telling them not to use the internet as a form of personal validation. Like, don't go to YouTube comments or Twitter pages looking for people to validate what you do. Just believe in what you do. If you believe in what you do, hey, that's the only thing that really matters. Be right with yourself, be right with God, and the rest will work itself out. Yeah, they're saying Hitler has the swag alert on the AI Twitter bot. Now, I'm gonna give the number out so you guys can call in on the next segment. It is 1-800-259-9231. Once again, the number to call in is 1-800-259-9231, and we will take your calls in the next segment. Let's go ahead and continue with some special reports, or excuse me, with some more articles here before we get to the special reports. Real quickly before we go to break, I have this report here of feds arresting 8,000 violent fugitives in a sweep, and this included 559 wanted for murder. And I hear a lot of people, they call into the show and it's like, you guys, all you do is bash cops. I'm like, if the cops do something bad, I talk about it. If the cops do something good, like taking 8,000 violent people off the street, I have no issue talking about that as well. And they say in Baltimore alone, they had 148 fugitives that were swept up, including 23 murder suspects. And also they went to the cities of Brooklyn, New Jersey, or Camden, New Jersey, Chicago, Compton, Fresno, Gary, Indiana, Milwaukee, New Orleans, Oakland, Savannah, Georgia, and Washington, D.C., where they rounded up many, many sex offenders. So I think that's good news. You know, if they do something good, I'll talk about it. But at the same time, if they're harassing people and telling people they can't film in their own front yards and arresting people who film in their garages, I have a big issue with that. And with more on that, we'll have a special report about a young man who stood up to officers, invading his personal space, invading his privacy, telling him what he could and could not do. Stay tuned for that right after this break.
On corruption. It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the InfoWar.
And welcome back to the fourth hour of the Alex Jones Show. I'm your host, Jakari Jackson. Now, right before we went to break, we are talking about various police actions, arrests made by federal officers, your local officers. And now some arrests can be good and other ones not so much. We have the example of feds arresting 8,000 violent offenders or alleged violent offenders. And I say that's good. That's great news. That's what they should be doing. But to contrast that, I also have these other stories. This one on the site today, man arrested for failing to return Freddy got fingered. So a man who rented a VHS tape 14 years ago has been arrested and fined $200 because he didn't return a videotape. Now, this is in very stark contrast from arresting sex offenders and alleged murderers and all those other types of people. And this isn't a one-off incident. We also have another story about a man right here in Texas who was arrested for an overdue library book, just like that episode of Seinfeld. And this isn't a one-off incident either. They say to justify the actions that overdue library books cost the state about $18 million. But I don't think they're going to get this $200 at a time by arresting guys for not returning their GED study guides. I mean, the guy's doing a GED test. He probably really need the book if he ended up keeping it for whatever reason. And also, we have a man arrested by U.S. Marshals for unpaid student loans. Now, I want you guys to think about this. You have the big banksters and the Wall Street tycoons who stole billions of dollars, continue to do so, but they want to come after a guy who had a $1,500 federal loan that he didn't pay 29 years ago, and they put him in the slammer. Is this a good use of your tax dollars to go after these nickel and dime offenders? Meanwhile, you got all these other guys doing these horrific things, and they don't go to jail. They get bailouts. And with this, we have a special report, a video report of a young man who stood up to officers and stood up for his constitutional rights.
Off of this, you can't ride your bikes down here. If you can pass that word along, that'll keep people from complaining to me, and I won't come talk to you.
Is there a law change?
What's that?
Is there a law change?
Yeah, you can't ride your bikes on the boardwalk.
When did that law change?
It's been a law for quite a while.
16.16.502 is the civic sectional code that states you can ride your bicycles around out here, so I don't know what law really? You're referring to.
Okay, you want to go that way? We can go that way.
You want to pull out your civic code and you want to look up the code, 16.16.502 states that you can ride your bicycle out here, so if you want to come out here, you want to tell people...
Exactly where?
The Rainbow Harbor Escalon, which is this entire area that you just parted to. All the way at the end down there... To all the way this around here, that's Rainbow Harbor Esplanade, 15.15.16.
So did you get your law degree on Facebook, or where did you actually obtain that?
So do I have to have a law degree to be an informed citizen? Is that what you're saying? It's wrong to be informed. It's wrong to know the law. It's wrong
just
to know your rights.
Where you got it.
I got it by knowing my rights. Is it wrong to know your rights as a citizen? Because last time I checked, when officers come and they try to invalidate your rights by telling you bullshit, at laws and enforcing their opinions, that's not what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to support the law. And when the law says that you can ride your bikes out here, you have no business coming up and harassing anyone telling them that they shouldn't ride their bikes.
Oh, this is harassment now.
When you tell someone to not ride their bike when they're legally able to ride their bike, yes, that is harassment. Your opinion is irrelevant. The law states we're going to ride our bike. Now, do you have anything else to say, or are you going to leave us alone?
You have a nice day.
Yeah, you have a nice day. We're going to continue riding on, man.
On the street right here.
This is our ride. I've been riding here for 6 years. You know how many cops come out here and try to pull this
big
on me?
Big, dude. Dream yeah. big.
Hey, what was your name, officer?
It's on the shirt.
Okay.
Lieutenant Coble. I know.
It's Lieutenant Coble. Great.
Have a nice day.
Yeah, thanks, man. Hey, I appreciate you, you know, not giving a shit and walking away. Please stay informed and don't harass the public, all right? So, guys, that's how you handle a police officer, right? You don't let the cops tell you that you can't do what you know you can do, right?
Yeah, and I'm sure these things happen quite often, but it's hard to catch them all on camera. You know, I can just think of several times being here in the city of Austin, whether it's open carry or any number of other things. You know, I was filming one guy one time standing on the sidewalk. I was standing on the sidewalk. And the officer's like, get on the sidewalk. He's like, I am on the sidewalk. I can't be any more on the sidewalk than what I am right now. I wasn't impeding the guy. I wasn't, you know, threatening the guy. I was just standing there with a camera in my hand. So, you know, it's good to be informed. And, you know, maybe sometimes you can catch things like that on camera. Let's go to some of our calls now. Who's been holding the longest? Is it Luke? Okay, Luke in Washington. Go ahead.
Oh, hi. Thank you for taking my call. My question is, if Hillary Clinton becomes president, what is your biggest fear she will do to our country? And what would be her biggest weakness if she becomes president?
My biggest fear is just she's going to try to ram through the same policies we've seen with the Obama administration. Now, let me be very clear about this. When we talk about Republicans and Democrats, I don't see a whole lot of difference between them. This is evidenced by the fact you got groups like Microsoft who fund both Hillary Clinton and Marco Rubio while he was in the campaign. So by and large, I think a Republican candidate would largely do many of the same things. They may disagree on things like Planned Parenthood, but otherwise, when it comes to big things, they usually do the same stuff. I just really think she's going to be an establishment puppet, and she's just going to push through anything she's told to do. What was the second part of your question, sir?
Oh, what would be her biggest weakness if she becomes president?
I think a lot of people don't take her seriously. And it's not because she's a woman. It's because of her track record. Like I said, she's lying about getting shot at when she steps off of helicopters. She did this pretty much I know nothing Sergeant Schultz deal with Benghazi. The stuff with her and Bill, not that it's really making it up to the mainstream news media, but the stuff with Bill and all of his sexual escapades and all that. So there's a lot of dirt under Mrs. Clinton's house. Will it get exposed? I'm not exactly sure.
All right, and how can I, what is the best way to deal with, like, people who, like, call you a racist just because you're a Trump supporter?
People call you racist if you disagree with anything. I remember we went out to the Planned Parenthood rally, and people were saying that, you know, I was a racist because I didn't support Planned Parenthood, and I'm black. I'm like, no, I don't support Planned Parenthood because it's founded by a racist named Margaret Sanger who said she wanted to kill the black weeds. But to your question specifically, you just point out to people what he's saying. Like, there's a video I saw a couple of days ago where they're asking young children. Actually, did David shoot that video? He may have shot it. He's asking young children, why don't you like Trump? And they said he wants to deport Muslims. If he said he wanted to deport Muslims, I've never heard that. And I've heard he wanted to block them for various reasons and various time periods, you know, and you can go look at all that for yourself. But they're accusing him of doing and saying a lot of things that he didn't exactly say. They're taking them out of context. They're adding stuff onto the fronts and backs of his statements. So if somebody's willing to hear you out, you can try to explain those things to them. But I don't think anybody's racist just because they support Donald Trump, especially when you talk about stuff like the wall. I'm not a supporter of the wall, but to say it's a racist symbol to build a wall, all you have to do is point out the fact there's a wall in South Mexico. There's a wall at the Vatican. There's a wall, Great Wall in China. So there's walls all over the place, but they want to call this guy racist because he wants to build a wall.
Right. Because this one kid in my class, I'm not going to say his name. I'm at Edmonds Community College. Yeah, he just was just doing like his like paper on Donald Trump like as a monster, and I had nothing against that. I mean, I could see on how he could see it one way, and I see another way.
Mm-hmm.
But he did his like paper, and in his paper, he actually said like, yeah, Donald Trump is just like so like racist and stuff. And I'm just like, no, he's not. Okay, that is not an untrue statement, and there is no facts supporting it. And the only evidence that you've got is just mainstream media bullcrap.
Yeah, and you think about the fact that nobody ever accused Donald Trump, to my knowledge, of being a racist until he got into this presidential race. And then it was like, he's racist against these people and he hates those people. And if you listen to what the guy says and what he does, you may not agree with all of it, but I can understand the point he's trying to make. Like I said, I wouldn't build a wall, but I understand his concern for a wall, but they, yeah, it's just racist rhetoric. You know, he's being supported by Ben Carson now. We've had some of his supporters on this show, Diamond and Silk. We've had pastors on the show that support Donald Trump. So it's not any racial issue. They just try to make it a much larger deal about race than it really is.
And it's just so funny because it's just like, you want to claim that racism is like the biggest problem. Why aren't you outside Planned Parenthood where millions of black people are aborted every year?
Yeah. You can't say that to them. They talk about you're a racist because you don't support Planned Parenthood. Just like I said, I'm like, you guys are killing more black people than, you know, gang shootouts or anything else. Why would I want to support this organization? Why do I want my tax dollars to go here? Thank you so much, Luke. We have to jump to our other callers. Let's go to, is that Stuart in Virginia?
Yeah, is that the one and only Jakari Jackson?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing very good. You look, you always look nicely dressed when I see you on the website. Very good.
Oh, thank you.
Hey, thank you. I wanted to mention a couple of things. I'm from New York. I have met Trump. He's big. I'm 5'4", so he's a big guy. He's 6'2", 3". One thing I remember, I've been watching all this, and I really wasn't pro-Trump till about 2 or 3 months ago. And I started watching all these, you know, these rallies he's having on the internet and everything. And I looked at these Black Lives Matters occupation, Wall Street, MoveOn.org. And, I mean, I've seen the interviews with some of these guys, and I got no problem with anybody. I mean, I'm a Christian. I love my neighbors myself. And, in fact, all it is pigmentation anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole thing is the only card, and I hate to sound funny here, the only Trump card they can use on this guy is racism and bigotry, because we do need to look at, you know, the immigration thing. My daughter is going out with a kid, a guy that's of Mexican, his parents are Mexican, they're illegal, they're driving around, you know, they're doing whatever they do, they have to do whatever they do, and they don't have, I know the mother doesn't have a license, I don't know if the father does, she's driving around. In their culture, I guess it doesn't matter, or the government has been basically let them all in. Now, in my opinion, I live in Virginia now, but I'm from New York. I'm from Queens, actually not far from where Trump's from. And you look at all this stuff going on with this whole race, and I'm going crazy because I'm like, this guy is not the angel of death. You know, Trump is not that bad. I don't trust Ted Cruz, but he may be a nice guy. I don't know.
Well, that's the deal. You know, with anything, if you didn't support Obama, you're a racist. If you don't support Hillary, you're a racist. Or if you're a sexist. And with Trump, they're just flat out calling the guy a racist. So it's always some type of ist, sexist, racist, you know, whatever ist, when they want to demonize somebody. So I'm not surprised they're using these tactics. They know that they are very effective. All you have to do is hear it. You don't have to have it substantiated in any kind of way. If they just hear it from their trusted news source or their trusted friend or whatever, that X person is racist or sexist, they just buy into that without really going to investigate what he actually said. Actually, I think we had the article on the site last week about the black police officer who went to a Trump rally, and he said the people who were protesting Trump were way more racist and bigoted than the people at the Trump rally. He said he went to the Trump rally. Everybody was nice and friendly. He didn't feel any racism or anything else coming from the crowd there. But it's the story that they want to tell, that everybody who surrounds Trump is some hateful, racist bigot.
I was watching the rally. I watch it here. I've got six kids, and my kids love Alex, but never mind that. And I was watching the one rally in Tucson where the guy dressed up as a Klansman. Now, I am like 800-900 feet from like a 20-foot Confederate flag here in Danville, Virginia. So, I mean, I could see it from my house, but I couldn't care less about the flag. But that guy dressed up like a Klansman. He had the hood on. And they were escorting him out. And did you see when the African-American gentleman, however you want to state it, laid a beating on that guy? I mean, I don't blame the guy. He was an Air Force guy. You saw that, right? Did you see that?
I'm not sure if I saw the exact one. I've seen a lot of these rallies, but I'm not sure if I saw the one that you're referring to.
He was a pro-Trumper. It was the last rally he had in Tucson. And if you watch that video at the end, because I was watching it live and I didn't know what all the ruckus was, and they showed a video, I think, the next day of this guy, and he was giving everybody the finger, and he was a white dude giving everybody the finger, and he, you know, had the KKK thing on, whatever he had. And this dude lambasted, cracked him on the side of the head, knocked him down. And this guy was African-American. And you didn't want to hear, and that you never heard a big deal about this guy hitting this guy.
Yeah.
I mean, the way they looked at it, hey, the dumbass, excuse my language, the dumb donkey guy deserved it. That's the way. I mean, I was from an Italian Jewish neighborhood, okay? I grew up. I wouldn't go into a, forgive me the way I'm saying it, an all black neighborhood and start doing stupid stuff. I mean, just like you would be, my neighborhood was pretty much all white. Mm-hmm. Somebody, African American, wouldn't come into my neighborhood and go, hey, you bunch of crackers.
Yeah.
It's just, oh God!
Yeah, you don't...
I hope this guy gets in. I hope this guy gets in because I really think that he probably, because of his business knowledge, because he's basically running a huge company, give the guy a chance. I mean, you know what? Obama, he was an idea whose time had come. Now, Trump is an idea that's time has come. And I don't know if that sounds kind of Shakespearean, but
I think you made
your point. I love your show.
All right, thank you so much, Stuart. We have to jump now. Now, on that point that you were making, Stuart, we'll go to our next caller, Tim, here in just 1 second. But when you talk about race, which a lot of people are talking about here today, I remember Joe Biggs did that report a couple of weeks ago. He went out to the streets. He asked, who's more racist, Obama, Hillary, or Trump? And of course, you know, many people said Trump being here in the city of Austin. But I'm like, well, how many Muslim people has Trump actually killed? Because if you think about all these foreign conflicts, these unaccountable drone strikes that have killed countless numbers of people, the man hasn't killed any Muslim people that I'm aware of. But I can think of many people that have been killed by policies of Obama and Hillary. But nobody really wants to talk about that. The number to call in is 1-800-259-9231. And let's go ahead and talk to Tim in Wyoming. Go ahead, Tim.
Thank you. Thanks for taking my call, Jakari. I appreciate it. Now, I was just hearing the special report about the Trans-Texas Corridor a little bit ago.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, maybe half an hour, 45 minutes ago. But I was listening to the show as I had it paused. But anyway, there's the thing that people don't want to think about. The Trans-Texas Corridor, of course, like I say, the North American Superhighway, the NAFTA Superhighway, NAU Superhighway, that also follows the same route as the pipeline that's been shelled.
Oh, okay, yeah,
the pipeline.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same, you know, the one. Yeah, what's it called again? I'm sorry.
Keystone Pipeline.
Keystone, that's right. The Keystone Pipeline, right. Now, the Keystone Pipeline, now, this is something I said to a friend of mine years ago. I said, before this ever started out, before the NAU Superhighway started
out. All right, stay right there, Tim. We have to go to break. We'll come back. We'll finish with you on the other side. Stay tuned. This is Jakari Jackson on The Alex Jones Show. Back to the Alex Jones Show. This is the final segment. I'm your host, Jakari Jackson. Now, very quickly, we would like to bring your attention to the great products available on InfoWarsShop.com, and particularly the Made in 1776 line. And if you go to the site, you'll see the belt buckles, the hats, the t-shirts, all the great stuff right there, hoodies. It's a great time to get all this stuff available on InfoWarsShop.com. I wear a lot of this stuff around town when we go out on shoots. I carry the beanies and the hats and all this good stuff, even stuff for the ladies. You can see Leanne McAdoo right there. So get that all made in 1776 on InfoWarsShop.com. Now, very quickly, we're going to try to finish up with our callers. We have many people on the line. So, Tim, if you could very quickly make your final point, then we'll move on to our other callers.
Yeah, thanks, Jakari. I appreciate it. The thing I wanted to mention was that the NAFTA Superhighway, the Keystone XL pipeline they're right next to each other, and they run the same route. So there was going to be the railway and everything else, and the basically a sovereign citizen or sovereign territory of whatever country happened to be in there at the time, running that area. But there's one other thing, one last thing I wanted to mention too. There's a show called Free Talk Live, which maybe some of the listeners of Alex Jones know about. I listened to it afterwards. I listened to it in the evening. Now, they had their studios raided after they mentioned something that was actually in the news in January, but they mentioned it. And 1 week later, they had their studios raided by the FBI, by the local police, and it was nothing. The charges are unsubstantiated. There's essentially no legal standing for the charges, and according to the way they're talking about it, it doesn't sound as though the charges will stick. But mm-hmm. I just wanted to mention that because, as Alex says, they're trying to shut us down, as he says all the time. They're trying to shut us down. Okay, it's hitting home. It should be hitting home for people. If they're listening to anything on GCN afterwards in the evening, as I say, this is the show's called Free Talk Live. It's on 7 nights a week. Now, the studio was raided on Sunday. The FBI and state police and local police.
What did they raid them for? What did they raid them for?
They said that they raided them because someone at the studio, and they don't even know who, they can't say who, and they took away $15,000, according to some of the hosts. They took away $15,000 worth of computer equipment. They took away laptop computers.
What was the actual charge they were?
They said that somebody at the studio, for Free Talk Live, had access a website. Now, this is the problem right here. The website was a website that the FBI, one of the websites that the FBI...
I'm sorry, Tim. I keep asking you the question, but we got to move on. I just never found out what exactly they rated them for. Let's go ahead and go to Doug in New Jersey. Go ahead and say what you got to say, Doug.
Hi, Mr. Jackson. I want to say thanks for taking my call. You're right when you say the tactics. And I want to say Diamond and Silk, the media now is looking to do a hit on these two beautiful ladies. And
I agree. I saw a hit piece on them today. I can't recall what the site was, but you are exactly right. Go ahead.
You're not kidding with selective and tactics. These people are unbelievable. I want to say real quick, because I was a construction super in the 80s. And, the PC police didn't care about labeling the Italians. They would say they're organized crime. You know what I mean? And as far as the Italians really knew, hey, listen, they had to go through these measures because there was some very bad people, but they weren't all bad.
Hey, Doug, we have about 30 seconds, so go ahead and very quickly make your point.
The thing is, I feel that the mainstream media is on life support, and great shows that you have are going to bring enlightenment to the people in America and make it great.
Well, thank you so much, Doug. Thank you, guys. Sorry to the rest of our callers. InfoWars Nightly News coming up tonight with Darren McBreen.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.